This week, I felt a great disturbance in the internet, as if thousands of videos suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly unavailable. I fear something terrible has happened. We'll explain this as well as plenty more from the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 760 for this January the 20th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and not joining me tonight, Techmaster Loki, but in studio with us, back tonight, happy to have her back, Dark Soccerer, Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I forgot I left this Ragnarok thing open on my phone.
Yeah, are you farming for Ragnarok Zenny or whatever it's called?
No, I'm just farming for gems.
Okay, I see.
I want to kill Baphomet and it won't let me kill it yet.
Is that that's a thing that you find in the game, Baphomet?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
It's also funny because I'm also leveling a Baphomet too.
Let me come back to you in a minute, Jamie, because I know we have a lot to catch up on because you've been out for a little bit.
Although
you've been here through the Classic Game of the Week. But those that are watching on Twitch are probably wondering, who's this guy that's sitting next to me? Well, Techmaster Loki is out this week. This was the weekend of the Broccoli Farm trip, so I'll come back to that in a minute. But this is Alan Alchemy.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. So Alan's going to fill in for the show tonight since Loki.
I haven't been on this show in a long time.
You have? Well, I feel like you've come on. You did the Classic Game a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And she wasn't even able to do the Skype thing.
Yeah, I did Freelancer.
Yeah, okay.
So but just in general.
Just in general.
I had the plague.
You haven't. You haven't been on the show in a little bit, but we're happy to have you here tonight.
Yes.
This is great. So for those that are listening on the podcast feed, I'm trying to change some things around on Twitch a little bit. You're probably actually wondering on Twitch, why can't you see Dark Sakura?
Reasons?
She's staying hidden tonight just because she wants to, for one. But the other is actually also because we haven't been able to correctly configure our studio to get the shot that we want. We do know the shot we're going to get that has Dark Sakura's kind of like Dr. Claw element in there. And I think on Twitch she's going to show you her hand. She's got, she can do a little bit of that. But anyway, so just due to the configuration, I wasn't able to get it work for Dark Soccer to be on camera tonight. And this part kind of affects the podcast as well. If you notice that the sound sounds a little different tonight, that's because the podcast audio is now going to match directly the Twitch audio. It actually wasn't before. There was stuff I was having to go back and splice in and some of that stuff, but now it's actually going to line up 100%. That's going to allow us to do our calls tonight on Discord because we're actually getting rid of Skype, which is another big change. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on OLR tonight. No Loki. Alan's here instead. Jamie's actually in the studio. We're switching to Discord. Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
And if I get the schedule I want at work, I will be back permanently in March.
Yeah. Good. I'm so happy to hear that. In chat over at our Twitch TV, because we do tape live at Twitch TV every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And, of course, our Twitch channel is VOG Network, and you can watch us for free on Sunday nights. You can watch us on demand with a subscription to our channel at Twitch TV, and you can always listen for free on our podcast feed, available in most any podcatcher like iTunes or Google Play. Nifty805 in our Twitch chat room says, "God is a woman." Voiced by Dark Sakura. So there you go. She is the
No shit.
She is the VOG tonight, the voice of Goddess.
Yes.
There it is. Awesome. Spyro says the audio sounds better quality tonight too. I think not having the split is helping with that, and I did some rebalancing of things, so hopefully that's all good. And I don't know if it's coming through, but the video on my side now looks the way I've wanted it to. Like, it's been a little bit blurry ever since we made the move to Twitch, and I think tonight is the first time it's nice and sharp. So Alan's sharp, I'm sharp, and it's not quite as washed. It kind of had a washed out look to it. So it's very exciting. Yeah, and SG100 Matt confirming in our chat that everything does look good. Great, I'm very happy to hear it.
I look especially good.
Yes, Dark Soccer looks especially good. Maybe at the end of the show she'll let us turn the camera around, but no promises.
There might be a surprise extra guest host in that because I'm here, Mr. Smush, who is always attached to me like glue. He heard his name.
He heard his name.
He heard his name and he meowed. He may decide that he wants to be with me and be in my lap. So that will be a treat.
Yes.
But we cannot.
He's a cat, so we make no guarantees.
We have to ignore him and he will insert himself into the situation. If we try to make him come here, it will never happen.
All right. So anyway.
He's already making his presence known.
He is. He's starting to meow. He probably wants food or something. So anyway, thanks again, you guys, for being here live tonight. And it's great. We're going to jump right into our kickoff topic tonight. So our kickoff topic tonight is to kind of pick up where we left off last week. So last week, we talked about some 2019 gaming predictions. So we filled up our time capsule. We actually took out 2018 and we read through them and had a good laugh. And now we're getting into our 2019 gaming predictions. But since Dark Sakura wasn't here last week, I mean, she joined us through Radio Magic and that whole thing, but since she wasn't here last week, she was unable to contribute to the time capsule. So I wanted to ask Dark Sakura tonight about some of her gaming predictions for 2019. So Dark Sakura, please, I know you've written some things out before the show. Will you tell us, did you end up with three or four?
Four.
Four. Okay. Would you give us one of your 2019 predictions, please?
I'll read all of them.
Well, just give us one to start because we have to.
Still no Half-Life 3.
Talk about a safe prediction. Well, okay. Alan, you're a big Half-Life fan, right?
I guess.
You used to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about this like Half-Life saga going on, because I understand like they hired one of the old writers and
Mark.
Is it going to happen or not?
Oh, no. We're never getting Half-Life 3 ever. Mark Laidlaw, I think, was his contract ended with Valve. Because it's a new year, I have no concept of time. 2016, 2017. So he's no longer employed with Valve, and then last year or the year before, the non-disclosure agreement for the script that he wrote for Half-Life 2 Episode 3 expired, because that's how long it's been. So he just leaked the script. He just did like a find replace on Gordon Freeman and Alex Vance to like some other generic names and said, hey, I'm going to put this on my blog. And people realized, oh, this is Episode 3 that he legally can share now, because that's how invested in the franchise Gabe Newell is. One of the co-writers from Half-Life 2 was brought back on to Valve, and my prediction is that there were news stories about that writer. It doesn't mean anything. We won't hear about him ever again. He gets a paycheck from Valve doing what? We won't know. It'll never happen.
Well, now Tiger Claw in chat over at Twitch TV says, maybe no Half-Life 3, but what if we got Portal 3? I mean, is Valve ever going to put out a game with a 3 in it?
No.
No, they're done. They're off to VR. Dota. Dota's the new.
There might be a Dota 3.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Dark Sakura. Let us have a little sidebar on Half-Life. So what is your next prediction?
Nintendo freaks out and goes back to friend codes for all the things.
Nintendo has another freak out and goes back to friend codes for all the things. It's not completely unreasonable. Like, you might think she's being very tongue-in-cheek, and I think she is.
No.
But we've seen Nintendo freak out before, right? Nintendo did a freak out with the chat app on three. I can't even remember
PictoChat.
The name.
PictoChat.
PictoChat. They've erased it from my memory. No, PictoChat was the live chat. What was the one where you email each other?
Oh, well, no.
Because PictoChat was the live chat room, and then there was the one where you sent each other.
It was PinoChat.
Swap Note.
Swap Note. They were
you,
all
Bobby.
PinoChat.
Swap Note. And remember, like, because somebody sent a picture of a penis, the whole thing was done for. So that's it. So, all right. So that's Dark Sakura's number two prediction. How about your number three prediction?
Amazon's new streaming game service will not overcome Steam or the console market.
Okay. So Amazon's going to do the new stream gaming, but it's not going to be enough.
I don't think it's going to be enough.
Okay. Do you think maybe Amazon might launch their streaming thing into, like, build it into the PlayStation 4 or build it into what's existing?
No.
No, too stubborn.
No, it's going to be all their Prime stuff. And because they own Twitch as well, they're going to try to push it through Twitch.
Mm-hmm. Makes
but
sense.
But, no, it's going to be Prime poop. I don't know.
All right. And lastly, but not leastly, your number four prediction, Dark Sakura.
OLR may earn enough money for bus tickets to Penny Arcade Expo.
Finally, after 15, 16 years. Oh, God, no, this is year 17, actually. We started in 2002. This is year 17. I'm at that point where I'm lowballing our age. Here in the 17th year of OLR, we may earn enough money to get a bus ticket to go to PAX.
Yeah.
Why would we want to go to PAX?
We went once. It was pretty fun.
We had a good time. You know what, Dark Sakura?
Will Wheaton signed my first model iPhone.
Anything is more fun when we're there. Well, when I'm there.
So what happened to the other predictions? Because I never got to look at what was in the old can.
Sadly, we tossed them last week. I'm sorry.
Really? After I wanted to see it?
I guess you have to listen to the show.
You'll have to put the shit in the can.
You'll have to actually listen to the show, Dark Saga. Here you go.
I don't listen to the show. This is a dumb show. Who would listen to this shit?
Anyway, I don't know. Do you, Alan, do you have any predictions? I know I didn't have you write them down, but if you do make an official prediction, please make sure you note it and put it in the thing.
That writer that was talked about for Valve, it doesn't mean anything. Nothing will ever happen with it. Anthem is going to flop so bad, it may bring into question whether or not Dragon Age 4 gets made.
That's severe.
Nah, because they know Dragon Age is the cash cow.
Yeah. I do think Dragon Age 4 will still happen, but it might be like, is there going to be a BioWare after Dragon Age 4? Because this was so... I will cackle loud, squawking laughs when Anthem flops. I will be like a witch.
I will be there with you.
Here's the thing, guys. I'm torn, though, because there are many people who have nothing to do with why we're pissed at EA and why we're pissed at BioWare that work on this game. And so for them, I feel bad. But at least my hope is what tends to... I mean, a lot of what we're seeing come out of these big developers oftentimes is more like smaller indie studios. Like, for example, we had the, I think it was on the show that got cut off because of the power outage and the storm, but we were going to talk about the guys that worked on Hearthstone were about to make their own game with their own studio, and they just got the Marvel license, and that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So I will go along with your cackling, but only for the management and for the other employees. I hope they are able to bond together, unionize, and make the game that they want to make. So I will wish for the negativity, but with a positive shell to that.
Frodo Swaggins has a question. Is there a way I can just get the audio? Yes. In Twitch, click the little gear. Touch the little gear, and you can find the options there.
Makes it great if you're trying to listen in the car. Please don't watch in the car.
SSJ100 Matt, Anthem is enemy number one in the eyes of Mass Effect fans. That is largely true. However, it is such a departure of why BioWare fans of yesteryear played any BioWare game, in that you are a solo protagonist. You don't have a party. So there's no banter amongst the party members. I believe that's true. And there's no romances of any type. So even if it was like, we're going to throw Mass Effect under the bus to bring you this new cast of ragtag misfits, I would still be into that if for the romance options, for the interpersonal relationships, for all of the recorded dialogue. And Anthem isn't offering any of that.
Anthem's
so that's
just,
why...
Anthem's just trying to be a Destiny knockoff.
Yeah, so that's why I'm kind of like... It's such a departure of the BioWare formula, which we all fell in love with. It's less bitterness over we didn't get our Andromeda DLC, because Andromeda wasn't really very good. So
I'm still bitter about the
DLC or not.
I wanted all the Quarians.
Yeah, I did too. But just it's such a departure of what BioWare used to be that I want to see it fail for that reason, more than like a personal affront to my Mass Effect
Anthem
fandom.
Anthem is New Coke.
Yeah, it's
Anthem
New Coke.
Is New Coke.
Okay, I'm with you. I hear
or
you.
Crystal Pepsi.
Okay, but I liked Crystal Pepsi.
That's true. Okay, they're New Coke.
Although when I went back and drank, like, I liked Crystal Pepsi when I was a kid. When they did that, like, redo or the whole, like, everything 90s is cool again, like, 2 years ago or whenever they brought back Crystal Pepsi, I had it and I was like, this is like liquid sugar.
They should have brought back Josta. Pepsi should have brought back Josta.
And Surge.
Surge is back on, you can buy Surge on
you
Amazon.
You can get Surge online,
and
I
Coke
think.
Needs to put out Beverly in the U.S. Anyway.
They need to bring back Coke Black for me.
All right, moving on.
my last prediction, after, I'm going to mispronounce the name just because I don't have it in front of me, Sekiro, the new From Software Dark Souls-esque feudal Japan game.
Oh, right, yeah.
Once that is out, they are going to announce Bloodborne 2 because Sony is writing that check for that exclusive game. Whether From Software wants to make it or not, they're like, oh, just like Bayonetta 3, well, the check came in, so we're making it. That's my. It's going to be announced. It's not going to be out, but I think that is a safe bet for 2019.
I think that's a very safe prediction, but it's still a good one. It's
they
a good
need
one.
They need to put out the current blue chip title, which is Sekiro, before they announce it.
Right.
But yeah.
All right. Good predictions. Be sure to write them down and put them in there so we actually get to look at them in 2019. Okay.
Okay.
So all right.
2020.
Awesome. Or yeah, 20. Well, I would say I'm still writing 2018 on all my checks, but who writes checks anymore? Oh, we do for the rent. That's like the one thing.
Yeah.
We've still got a landlord who lives in the 80s.
We pay our gardener.
Oh, there you go.
With a check. All right. But I think like one other bill.
It's so infrequent. I don't know if you've started doing this, but like now it's all about things like, you know, I don't want to endorse one or the other, but it's things like Apple Pay, Venmo. I think there's a cash, just one called Cash.
Cash
like,
app.
The yeah. largest amount I have ever Apple Paid somebody was like $460 to get extra ramps and two of the chests. Actually, I have three chests for my Theater of Magic.
I did. Okay, so when I was at Final Fantasy Fan Fest, I sent $100 to one of my friends because he had a ton of money in cash on him because he knew he was going on the trip. And I didn't want to go to an ATM, but I wanted to play the slot machines. So I did. I sent my friend $100. He was like, here you go. And I was like, yay, no ATM fees. So that worked out. But it's, I mean, that stuff is really big now. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like when I go out to eat, and so I swear this is not a commercial. I know there's so many podcasts that endorse one of these particular apps. That's why I'm being very vague. There's a bunch out there. But like now, like when you go out to eat and dinner and stuff, like it's one of those apps all the time to like split the check, or it's just, okay, I'll put it on my card. Everybody send me on, you know, Venmo or Apple Pay or whatever you guys are using. So kind of interesting. Anyway.
Also, if I may make a quick shout out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but to the dude who is at Cliff's Variety that we started talking about, Pinball. Hi.
If that person is even watching.
No, if he's listening or watching. But it's nice finding more and more pinball fans out there. To the point that maybe we should have ourselves a pinball segment. Wink, wink.
Or a pinball show. Take that on.
Okay, who wants to be my co-host on Pinball Hour?
A Pinball Hour? We're looking for more video
content. We'll just call it the Pincade.
You should recruit your hubby. I think would be a good one for that.
He's been on some pinball podcasts.
There you go. And there's actually, I don't know if you watch Twitch, but there's Twitch pinball stuff. And it's kind of funny because
Watches the Bro Do You Even Pinball?
Most things are widescreen on Twitch, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, you see interesting things with the layout. Like for us, you have like the stories coming up on the side and the bar at the bottom and all that stuff. But like with pinball, since pinball is very narrow, it's like one small part of the screen and then you see the person playing see the board.
I've watched many of them.
But it's, it looks neat.
But the big one he watches is the Bro Do You Even Pinball. And then he watches some of the tourneys.
Okay.
So
nice. Shout outs. All right. Lots of positive buzz for the Pinball Hour in our chat room. KArts1 says it's been far too long since a Dan OLR appearance. So there you go.
I asked Mr. Husband tonight, you want to come be on the show? No, Will's coming over. We're going to play Demolition Man. We just got a Demolition Man.
Okay. So this show got bounced. This show got declined in favor of Demolition Man.
However, I did get to hug 1-2, who is the cutest Pibble ever.
Let's see.
Also, at the San Francisco March yesterday, because I was marching at the Women's March, I will endorse that one because they are very nice to Jewish people, unlike the DC one where the woman is anti-Semitic as fuck. But I got to pet an iguana and it's like in the parrot family, but I got to hold a bird and feed it an almond.
And you randomly saw gamer Jamie Lee Curtis there, which I thought was awesome.
I saw Jamie Lee Curtis outside the Castro Theater while I was still in full face.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hanging out with my sisters.
I love Jamie. The reason
she's
why
she's so pretty.
No, Jamie Lee Curtis is relevant to OLR because she's like a gamer. She goes to Evo.
I want to grow up to be her.
She goes in cosplay. Head to toe cosplay, so she's unrecognizable.
And I think it's a really cute story because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was her son that got her into it.
Yeah.
And she kind of became a gamer because she wanted like that with her son, which I think is awesome. And she's like one of the only people in Hollywood that's like still married to the same Christopher Guest, which is, you know, great. So like,
awesome.
My point is Jamie Lee Curtis is perfect. The end.
I want to grow up and be her because I already have her name.
All right. That should have been your stage name, Jamie Curtis Lee.
No, because I would, you know why I picked Jamie Summers, right?
I did. Listeners don't know.
Okay. So the Bionic Woman, I was named after the Bionic Woman. Yes, I am that old. The character is spelled J-A-I-M-E-S-O-M-M. Wait, J-A-I-M-E-S-O-M-M-E-R-S. So I picked Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, which is how I spell my name, S-U-M-M-E-R-S. Not realizing that was already porn star's name, of course.
Whoops.
And apparently.
That's all right. There's a Rob Roberts that like makes guns. If you. If you search on YouTube, not that I'm endorsing this guy's channel, but there's like a gunsmith or something that goes by Rob Roberts.
And his parents really did name him that, and that's why he's angry and he sells guns.
And
yours is chosen.
There's a rugby guy, because if you go to Wikipedia for Rob Roberts, I'm not notable enough to be on Wikipedia, despite that I'm the co-producer and co-host of the longest running podcast. But we won't go there. There's a rugby guy that's named Rob Roberts. But rugby's cool. I'm all right with that.
Oh, well, she's 50. And she really is like one of those classic bombshell type of porn star looking ones.
Good for her.
And she also was in a video with Jeff Stryker.
All right. This has gone way past gaming predictions. So mm-hmm. I think it's time to advance to the next segment, which is a little more appropriate for these conversations we're having, which is how was your gaming week? So Dark Sakura, what types of video games have you been playing this week?
Well, this week was actually a super busy week. I had bronchitis last week. The past week before. And so if you hear me hacking, I have the leftovers. So really, it was just all watching Awesome Games Done Quick and then me and Dan rewatching the streams, but I've mostly played pinball. I've been playing Theater of Magic because I freaking love that game, and ours is pristine. Dan's supposed to be working on my World Cup soccer, but I found the reason I like Theater of Magic so much and World Cup soccer is apparently I just like games designed by John Papaduk. So, go fig. There's also, and I've been trying, I didn't put it up in the show, but something interesting is that Steve Ritchie may be getting to work on his dream game, which might be Black Knight 3000.
Oh, cool.
Give me your money. Yeah. But, you know, it's just been, you know, mostly I've been playing Pokemon Go and playing, you know, Idle Pouring and this woodblock puzzle game. Because, you know, I like spatial puzzles.
Sure.
I've just been trying to keep my mind going because I'm losing it. So much.
You should look at the game that Bobby had on his show tonight. That looked pretty cool. And that was like a spatial puzzle kind of game. So, yeah, cool.
And I'm actually going to be... I want to play it on the old SNES because I want to do a Jamie cheats at games. Just like put in the game genie and like do Final Fantasy VI with the speed shoes on all the time. You know, just because I love... You know, after I've beaten games 57 million times, sometimes I just want to play through for the story. So I was thinking about doing like a Jamie cheats and just do me cheating at games.
Well, you know, have you, I don't know if you've looked a lot at the Switch online library of NES classics. I don't know if you've played around with that. Mm-hmm. Something they've been doing is that every month they've been adding, you know, two or three new games, but they also have been adding one or two SP games. And what's really interesting about the SP games is they're basically all they are, they're just save states. They're like official Nintendo sanctioned save states. But in the beginning, they were really cool. Like there was a Zelda one where you start Zelda, but you have 250 rupees and you have every item that you can buy from a merchant. Like somebody ran around the game. So like if you just want to power through Zelda without worrying about a bunch of that bull, you can use that Zelda SP. And then they did like a Gradius that's starting on the last level. Well, they just put out this last month, they put out a, I think it was Ninja Gaiden, starting at the very last boss fight, so you can see that.
What, with full life?
That what nobody probably ever saw, the actual ending
Dan's
cinematic.
Beating it.
Yeah. And then, what was the other one? Ghouls and Ghosts, or Ghosts and Goblins?
On
yeah.
the second yep. playthrough? Or on the last boss with the key?
They started on level 6.
With key?
I don't remember.
Because remember, you have to get the item and carry it through the last level to beat the game officially.
Girl, I can barely beat level 1. Barely. So, and I think I did it on a Commodore 64 when I was 7 and not in my 30s or 40s. So, it's been a long time. But anyway, my point is those SP titles are kind of a way to like, oh, get that little oomph. It's almost like... fingers crossed that they do end up supporting Super Nintendo games someday. Maybe we would see something like that, like a Final Fantasy with certain things already on your account.
I want to know who'd be interested to see me cheat.
Yeah.
Just tell me if you want me to cheat.
Cheat through life. All right.
Hey, what was it? Now I'm thinking of Eddie Guerrero in wrestling because he used to always cheat to win.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't know. I think it's...
The only one I ever hear about is Sami Zayn. I don't know why. But that's the only wrestler I ever hear about.
It's fun to just, you know, just play for fun, you know? Yeah. The challenge is great, but I've already done it 50 million times. I have nothing to prove. Whatever.
Fair enough.
Well, I get good when you can cheat.
Let's go over to Alan. Alan, how was your gaming week? What kind of games you been up to lately?
I haven't been playing a lot of games because the cat will not let me.
This is so true.
So he used to just be fine in my lap when I played, but now not only does he want to be on my desk, because I have a big enough desk for two monitors. If he plops himself down to the right of my keyboard, I can reach over and pet him. Everything is fine. But he specifically likes to be across the keyboard, literally like on top of. And you can't really play, or he'll like attack my hand as I move the mouse. So there's a point where I'm just like, I'm not playing Overwatch right now. I'm just going to get up or do what, you know, whatever. So, yeah, it's endearing, but also annoying.
Act Deft in chat says, and that's a problem. How? Mr. Smoosh deserves all the attention. But the
when I'm in the middle of a ranked match in Overwatch and he decides to do it, it is unfortunate for the people I'm playing with because I'm not entirely focused on the game. But he's also saving me from Overwatch because this particular season of ranked mode Overwatch has been terrible, and I should be playing it because every time I play it, I get upset because the rounds and matches go really poorly. So I think he's just looking out for my emotional well-being. He's like, it's time to log off, honey. Put Overwatch down.
It's like the meme where it's time to stop posting with the cat paw
yes,
on the mouse.
Yeah. He's like, you can play healer all you want. Your team's not going to win because you're in the doldrums of the toilet of ranked mode. Give it up. Give it up, sister. I was on a huge Dark Souls kick for a while. I played Dark Souls 2 to death. I think the last time I was on OLR, I was playing Dark Souls 2. Pokemon Go, we do raids. We were driving by on our way to do something completely unrelated. We noticed a bunch of cars parked at the end of our street where a Pokemon raid is, and we pulled over and we're like, are you guys doing a Pokemon raid? So yeah, that was fun.
And they're like, yeah, there's two of you, right? Because they needed like two more people to have a full group. Yeah.
Yes. So without giving away where we live, we've told the local people in our part of Sacramento, if there's a Pokemon raid at this park, like, we just have to put on our shoes. We can walk there. So, yeah, Pokemon Go, Dark Souls, and Overwatch, when the cat will allow me to play, that's really it.
All right.
Not a whole lot.
Going to chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. VG Realness agreeing with you on Overwatch, saying, OMG, tell me about it. It is so bad this season. I know VG Realness has been doing some streaming, and go check out the clips at VG Realness's channel because he's got some real interesting people over there.
Once you dip below, like, bronze is fine, but once you dip below 1,300, 1,200, there's no coming back. Come back the next season, do your new 10 placement matches. Once you get into the 1,100s, you're just hurting yourself, and you need to love yourself.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, you should also put on pants, not just shoes. That is a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's see, S200 Matt
the
says,
jury is still out on that one.
Some of the people on ranked Overwatch are a little too intense when I played. I know Alan and the others here are not, but the intense randos are off-putting. I don't know. I mean, then again, I don't really play ranked at all. But even in things like World of Warcraft where I'm running dungeons and people are being shitlords, like, I just go, K or cool. Like, I don't even, like, I maybe engage them with, like, one word or even one letter responses, and then I just ignore them. Like, I know that's a hard thing to do. Sometimes it's easier probably in text, but, like, I just, fuck them. Like, I don't have to acknowledge them or anything.
Yeah. In ranked mode, you should, I feel, have a headset, even if you don't want to say anything. Like, you don't want, if you don't want to talk to these people, if they say, hey, do you know how to play this healer? You should be able to grunt, like, yes or no. I think that's a reasonable expectation to play ranked. But yeah, there are people, because I will be like, I'll be the one that says, hey, let's switch it up because we have only got a minute left and this isn't working. It hasn't been working for the past 4 minutes and no one's really saying anything. So let's switch it up. But yeah, there are people that are like, God, you guys are all terrible. And it's like, we are in bronze. We're all bad. You're bad. We are all in the sewer together. So, I mean,
just call you the Ninja Turtles and you ain't Master Splinter.
When you point a finger at us, there are three fingers pointing at yourself. This is bronze. We have no aspirations of grandeur here. So before you say, God, you're all fucking terrible. You too. Just we're all in hell. We're all gonna die here. So knock off the attitude.
You're just getting cheered on in chat.
VG Delvin is like having church right now.
VG Realness, preach. Tell them, Alan. K Arts One, drag them. I love it.
So yeah, we're all gonna die down here in bronze. So yeah, for ranked mode, some people are terrified of. Like, they don't want to interact with the players. I don't think that's good for ranked, because the whole point of it is that you're taking the match seriously. But once you're in that low of a level, it's just do what you can with what you got. And that's my gaming week.
Go with what you know.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. My gaming week. I've been playing some Final Fantasy XIV because they unleashed the Blue Mage in Final Fantasy XIV this week, which was fun for a minute. But then you kind of realize, like, I'm leveling this Blue Mage. I'm going around and getting all these spells and stuff. And why? Because you can't take it into current content or do anything really, like, cutting edge with it. So it's kind of, it's like this entire little sideshow they built into the game, which was fun for a little bit. But, like, everybody figured out how to cheese it. Like, you could kill, and I maybe was guilty of participating, but basically you can switch to your level 70 character, go find a level 49 mob. You can't do it with level 50 and higher. You go find a level 49 mob, kill it, and right before the XP is rewarded, use your macro to switch to Blue Mage, and you get all that experience on your Blue Mage, and you level up, like, fast. So all you really have to do is go hunting for the spells, which is a little bit tedious. But I don't know. I might go back and keep trying it, because I hear the Masked Carnival is kind of fun, which is like the end game thing for Blue Mage only, but I don't really totally understand Square Enix's and the development team's, like, stubbornness in, we don't want this to be a full job because it will be too overpowered. You could cast level 5 death on things. So it's just like, okay, then just don't let people use that spell. Like, limit the spells they can take with them into raids and things like that. It would not be crazy. Just say there's a magical field that prevents certain spells. Like, it's fucking Final Fantasy. Make it up. Like,
a wizard did it.
Yeah, a wizard. It's a wizard, Harry. Like, just, it's not hard to just come up with something as why you're doing it a little differently. Like, I feel like they're like, we have to implement Blue Mage just like it was in Final Fantasy V. Never mind that Blue Mage was a class in Final Fantasy XI that worked out very well, actually.
There are a ton of jobs in Final Fantasy XI that 14 is never going to get, and Blue Mage could have just as easily been one of those. Yeah. Like,
I'm not going back to that game.
So I just, you know, I don't hate it as much as some people we know, and I'll give you that. But it's just kind of one of those. It feels like, I don't like that it's like a sideshow. I just wish, I mean, it's an okay sideshow. It's about as exciting as things like PvP. But, you know, I just wish there was a way they could kind of realize it into the full game, and I think it might mix up the meta a little bit.
Did Stormblood introduce any new PvP maps, like the big group ones?
I think so. I haven't played it a lot, but I think they have. They're trying on PvP.
Bless their hearts.
Bless their heart. I mean, PvP, actually, I got to say, I've played some PvP in Final Fantasy XIV. It is kind of fun. It is a shame it isn't as well known as something like World of Warcraft, but it's a tough cookie to break into because so many people are playing World of Warcraft and some of those other PvP games. It's hard to just put out a new game and expect it to take fire, but I'm not knocking the PvP scene in Final Fantasy XIV. It actually, they're the players that do it do a good job, and it is I like that it's a very different type of game than the rest of the base game. But anyway, that's enough about Final Fantasy XIV. Other games I've been playing this week include World of Warcraft, ironically. Still working on leveling my shaman in that game.
I'm going to start playing it again.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Delvin to come back. I think they're opening the next raid next week, so I think he'll finally be back. I'm starting to wonder if I have outgeared Delvin, who's been raiding, because ever since the last patch, they're handing out, like, I-level 370 and 375 gear, like cookies. So I wonder if maybe I passed Delvin. He just doesn't know it yet. So that'd be really funny, because he was helping me try to level and then kind of took a break to go play Overwatch and all that stuff. So that'd be fun. And then let's see what else. Pokemon Go as well. Something you didn't bring up that I want to is that event that they had over the weekend for the Phoebus. That was so bad. Like, the event, it wasn't a normal community day. It was just for 3 hours, all Pokestop quest rewards are going to let you catch Phoebus, and you might be able to get a shiny. And it's like, the quests were ridiculous. Like, it should have been.
If they made it a week long, I would feel a lot differently about it.
Yeah, it needs, or at least even just a full day. A full day would have been a lot easier to stomach than just 3 hours. Like, they tried to make a second community day, and I don't want two community days in Pokemon Go a month. Like,
yeah,
just have one. And if you want to do the Phoebus thing as like a special event that goes for a day or two, because they've done like 2-day events before. They yeah. did the Farfetch'd was out here in the U.S. for a couple days. The Love Disc being shiny or whatever, like that big. It was only a couple days. So anyway, I just that was a trash event. It flopped, and I hope they don't try something like that again. I mean, I was okay with the event itself, and if they want to make the quest like catch 15 Pokemon to finish the quest, then just give more time. You know what I mean? Like yeah. let people do it for longer. That's all. So and some folks in chat. ActDef saying, yeah, a weekend would have worked perfectly. It was frustrating to say the least. SG100 Matt says, I mean, the Pokemon requires you to walk 20K in order to evolve it. Just wasn't worth it. Yeah. I mean,
technically, you would want two shinies because you want to keep the baby and then you want to evolve right. one.
And I actually already have 100% Phoebus, which is now Milotic.
Yeah.
I got that in an egg some time ago. So it's like
a year ago.
I'm not yeah. as big on the shinies. I mean, they're cool, but like, I'm not Shane about it. I mean, they're cool.
I like the few shinies I have.
But I like the 100% stuff more than I get really excited when I get 100%.
95% of the shinies I have are because of community days. Mm. I do not have the luck of catching. I remember once we were in Safeway and you got a shiny yellow Geodude and you like gay gasped.
Well, because
the
Geodudes do look cool. I'll
you know,
that.
They do. But just finding a random one in the wild,
yeah.
I have the worst luck.
Yeah. So. Anyway, yeah, I like finding them in the wild. They're pleasant little gifts. Like, I'm not going to be like, I don't care about shinies. Yeah. Like, they're cool, but at the same time, like, oh, darn, I missed the Phoebus shiny. I'm not going to lose sleep over
like,
it. You know
I,
what I mean?
I caught, like, 20 Whelmers today. Not a single one was purple. I want a purple Whelmer.
I think I hatched
pink?
A purple one.
Aren't they pink? I thought they were pink.
No, they're purple.
They're purple.
Oh, all right, whatever. I believe
Jeez,
you guys.
Rob.
Sorry. Anyway, that was it, really, for my gaming week. Next week, I still need to play New Super Mario Brothers U. I keep meaning to do a stream, and I've just been preoccupied with other things. But
Real
also,
life happens.
If I'm not crazy, isn't this the week where Kingdom Hearts 3 is like actually happening? Right? Is that this week or is that next week?
It's It's the 20th Tuesday of not this upcoming week, but the next week.
Oh, okay, so it is
29th.
Next week.
29th.
Right. But I'm still like, well, I mean. The Utada Hikaru song is out with Skiller X.
Yeah.
That hit Spotify and Apple Music and all that stuff this week. And like,
I need to listen to the Japanese one
first. It's weird to think. I like the song, but I don't like the part where the Skrillex stuff has turned up to 11. Because, the part where she's singing, like, let me face. I don't want to get muted, so I can't see the whole thing. Yeah. But, like, you know, the little song. And then, like, even with the drum and bass, I'm fine. But then when it goes, like, it's just like, slow down, like stop. That's just it's too much.
Which is funny because there actually is a Skrillex song that I like, all because of Deadpool. I have discovered that I actually like Bangarang.
That's okay.
Because that whole scene was hilarious, and it was in Cactus Canyon Continued, where they did the Cowboys versus Aliens thing.
I really like the Celine Dion song that was in Deadpool. So
I just think it's great that he got Celine Dion to.
She plays that in her Vegas show.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's actually, as far as, like, Celine Dion power ballads go, like, it's a really good power ballad, honestly. So, hey, it is what it is. All right.
I was listening to a podcast where someone was like, there's not going to be an episode of this show when Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out because fuck y'all. And then they were like, Kingdom Hearts 2 came out when I was still in high school, like, 15, and now this person is almost 30. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like, didn't Kingdom Hearts 2 come out like right before we started OLR?
Oh, children.
Because Kingdom Hearts was 2001 and Kingdom Hearts 2 is 2005? I don't know. No one look it up. Who cares? But yeah, it's been a while. It's been a minute.
Anyway, someone in chat, I'm sorry, I missed the name. It scrolled off. But someone in chat asked if I was actually wearing a Corgi shirt, and I am. But it's actually like kind of like the memes. I'm trying to show it off on Twitch where you can actually see how the Corgi is saying, bork, 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 and I love this shirt. Like, I don't happen to own any dogs. We're more of a cat household, but if we did get a dog, I do want corgis, and I want 8 of them on a leash, just like the Queen of England.
All her corgis are dead.
What? Why would you say that?
No, it's true. She actually stopped breeding her corgis because she doesn't want anyone to raise her dog's puppies. The line of what was her first dog's name? But she didn't want anyone else to raise the puppies from that line.
I'm depressed. We're changing the topics. All right. Let's. Great. Why don't we talk about depressing, violent things to start off the show tonight?
Girl, I'm just all about the facts. You know me.
I know, I know. All right, let's move on. Let's get into some gaming
news. All
tea,
no shade.
All right. Loki. Loki is not here tonight. Alan.
Be Al Loki.
Really?
That's fine.
Look. Do something.
You're our current chaos
bringer.
Do
you see any round table or like do five guys in front of me?
Do something one way for 17 years and then suddenly try to change it.
Yes.
All right. Alan, why don't you start us off with some news today?
So the irony is that right before it's my turn to talk about a news story, my tablet apparently has crashed. But luckily, I know this off the top of my head. NetherRealm Studios, who put out in 2017 Injustice 2, they announced what pretty much everyone knew was in the pipeline. Mortal Kombat 11 was announced. They had a big event where they invited a lot of YouTubers and Twitch streamers. Also, Sonic Fox was there, our favorite blue furry fighting game champion.
Oh, yeah, love that guy.
Yeah, so a lot of the big names from Evo were there. And they announced 11, and they showed there's, I think, 8 or 9 characters official. But if you keep on top of stuff like this on YouTube or on Twitter, you'll see that in the playable demo. Because the people that got invites to actually play the game, they got the copy of the video to put on their channels. Which is, I didn't know that you could do that. I thought if you went to a special event where you could play the game, that footage belonged to the company. But a lot of the people that I follow have been putting their time playing 11 on their own channels with them playing. The release date is April 23rd. It looks like it still has the each character has 3 different fighting styles. Like Cassie Cage in Mortal Kombat 10 had like Hollywood ballistics and something else. Or Jax's daughter, Jackie, had full auto shotgun and tech or something. And that means that like she has 3 special moves that are the same across all 3, but then there are 3 more special moves that you only get depending on which fighting thing that you're in. X-ray attacks have been replaced with things called fatal blows. You can only use 1 fatal blow per match. So if you use your fatal blow in round 1 and it's a 3-round match, you don't get to use it the other 2 times. The antagonist is named Kronika. And it's the first new character. It's the first main antagonist that's a woman in all of the Mortal Kombat games. Something to do with time travel, of course.
I guess you've had bad girls before. Like, Melina was kind of an antagonist.
Yeah, but they're always been, like, a tertiary or, like, the henchman.
Yeah, no, that's pretty... I didn't even, like, really realize that until it was kind of pointed out. Like, she's the first, like, main, like, end villain. Yeah, that's cool.
And Mortal Kombat 9 was really incredible. I remember when the Sony network was down for, like, 2 or 3 months, 2 games came out that didn't get to... You couldn't enjoy them online because of that Sony thing. It was 2007. It was Portal 2 and Mortal Kombat 9, the reboot. And Mortal Kombat 9's really awesome thing was the story mode, where you get to play the game, but then in between each round, you got cutscenes, and they sort of dictated which character you played based on the perspective of who was witnessing the story. So they're keeping that in 11. It looks like the story, because Mortal Kombat 9, sorry, I'm jumping all over the place, took the stories of the original Mortal Kombat's 1, 2, and 3, cleaned it up, and unified it into one big storyline, and also parts of MK4 with Shinnok, and did that. MK10 was the storyline from Mortal Kombat 4, and then a new sort of continuity, and I was hoping that Mortal Kombat 11 would have Deadly Alliance or Shaolin Monks, like, take, because a lot of the Mortal Kombat sequels for PS2 and 3 were kind of garbage, and they had a lot of throwaway characters that weren't memorable at all. I was hoping that they would take the existing canon, as ridiculous as it was, throw out the trash, and retell that story, but with better writing for this new game. And it looks like you know, we hardly know anything about the game, but with the this new antagonist, Kronika, and the time travel, it looks like they are doing more of a departure as far as the story. The time travel element, I imagine, lets them bring back a lot of characters that weren't in Mortal Kombat X. We already know that Baraka is back. Scarlet, who is sort of like, she's like a blood mage or like a blood ninja.
And you thought she was kind of a throwaway character.
Well,
she was
a really badass, awesome character in Mortal Kombat 9, but she only existed as a DLC character in 9. And to see her back is really great. I think the big three that they need to announce to make all the fanboys happy is Cabal, because Cabal is awesome. Noob Saibot. They've already done Baraka. I can't really think. And Shang Tsung, really. Those are like the fan favorites that weren't in 10 that people want to see in 11. So there are 8 or 9.
When I played Mortal Kombat, yeah. I liked Cabal. So for those that don't know, like, I have historically really loved the Mortal Kombat franchise. Like, I love the old games. They're fun. They're, you know, cartoony and gross and funny. But, like, I started to fall. Like, I enjoyed Mortal Kombat 9. Kind of, but then like Mortal Kombat 10, I'm like, this is too much. Like, some of these fatalities are fucking gross. Like, I just hit the point where I'm like, this is nasty. And it was that one you showed me, and you called it when I finally broke, was that Jax fatality where he like puts out the cigar in the person's head.
He takes the top of their head and pulls, like, basically snaps their jaw back so that their head hinges open like a trash can. And Why? He puts the cigar out on their tongue, and you can see down the esophagus.
The problem is, when it was the graphics level of Mortal Kombat 2 and 3, it was a cartoon and it was like funny. But this is it's too real now. And now, so I tuned in that to that Mortal Kombat 11 thing.
Was any of that real?
Because I felt some sense of, oh, I'm a gamer commentator guy. I should know what's going on. And I do like Mortal Kombat. So I tune in just in time to see Baraka doing a fatality on Scorpion, where, like, I don't even remember what happened. He stabs him like 4 times, and each time is gross. And then he stabs him, pulls out his brain, and starts eating it. And I was like, done.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the end. Like, look, I get that it's over the top. I get that some of you are into stupid horror like that. Meaning over the top, not like, I have friends. I work with the Horror Film Festival here in SAC. I respect your guys' fandom. It is just, for me, I'm just like, I don't, just enough. So that's it. Like, I would like to just play Mortal Kombat without that level of craziness. So I like Injustice.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Injustice is for me.
I don't mind, because when I was a teenager, I would buy Fangoria magazine, and I really like horror, which you wouldn't really know because it's not like we go see horror together.
My friend made me watch Faces of Death, and I cried.
So I don't mind the detail of the graphics. I just want the deaths to be funny / creative, and a lot of the really gruesome fatalities in Mortal Kombat 10, they were graphic, but they were also boring. Like, wouldn't it be awesome if we just made someone blow up and their guts hang from the ceiling? Not really, because that's not interesting. The one that you really liked that was gross, that you thought was funny, was the Cassie Cage one where she takes a selfie. You liked that one.
That one was pretty funny. It was funny. It was gross.
Yeah, so a lot of people on YouTube have analyzed the footage of what they showed at the special event, and that you can see Kano in the background of a stage. So people are like, okay, Kano's not confirmed, but he's probably there. Same thing with Johnny Cage in some of the menus of the advanced modes, like the time towers or whatever. You can see Rain because it's tinted purple, and the silhouette is what Rain looks like. So they're even though they've only officially confirmed, I think, 8 or 9 out of the 25, I think there's going to be 25 core characters, then 6 DLC, they said, for a total of 31 or maybe 32. If you're really into the putting on, you know, the little eyepiece and analyzing, like, the meta of what footage, you know that there's going to be more characters in there than what they've announced. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not sure. I guess I'll pre-order it to get Shao Kahn, even though he's, like, one of the cheesiest fighting game bosses of all time. So that's the thing that happened. NetherRealm Studios, Mortal Kombat 11.
But I do think it's funny that, you know, obviously, if you guys didn't already know, Alan and I just celebrated 2 years of marriage. We've been together for 9. And that I feel this way about Mortal Kombat, but Alan loves it. And I'm like, all right, have fun. Go play it over there where I don't have to watch it.
Yeah.
I've literally turned into my mom. Some longtime OLR listeners may remember that clip. Oh, I wish I had it, because I even took video of it, funny enough.
Yeah. Wouldn't that have it was with Melina. Now?
Yeah, it was, and I showed my mom some of the fatalities in Mortal Kombat 9, and I remember her sitting back there going, this is so, Rob, this is gross, this is, who does this? And, like, I've turned into that through the course of one game. When it came to Mortal Kombat 10, I turned into that, so, yeah. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I'm glad the Mortal Kombat 11 exists. I will not be buying it, but I hope you guys do and enjoy it. Perfectly said. Well said.
Yeah.
I hope you have fun, honey. I'll be over here playing Hello Kitty Adventure.
Ronda Rousey is the voice actress for Sonya.
Why though?
She, if this had happened for Mortal Kombat 10 when she was an up and comer, and sort of like
before she said
before she became people's problematic fave or was canceled,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, I'm indifferent. She's a UFC fighter. I think her last big matches, she kind of got her ass beat more than she won, which is neither here nor there. That's what's happened to athletes in that very dangerous sport.
I guess she needs to get a paycheck from somewhere.
Yeah. So,
All right.
Next story.
All right. We will talk about the next story. Well, if you wanted to watch people playing Mortal Kombat videos online, you might be doing that on YouTube. And unfortunately, a lot of gaming-related YouTube videos have recently come down. That's because Machinima pulled all their videos this week, like just overnight, gone. Apparently, this is because they're going to be merging with Alation, part of Otter Media, part of AT&T Warner. So you got to go down like 4 parent relationships there of companies, and that's where this is going. Apparently, some folks were not told that this was going to happen. Like, video producers had no idea this was going to happen, but there was a Twitch clip going around where Lawrence Sontang from Rooster Teeth tried to give some insight on what was going on. Warner, at this point, cannot verify the copyrights to all videos in Machinima's network, and there are a ton of videos. It cost a lot of money to do it, and this is on videos that aren't getting any views, so they cut it loose. That's that. That's a business. That's how it goes. But, you know, there were a lot of people that partnered up with, worked with Machinima, that just suddenly... Yeah.
Or made content for that channel.
Because people were still making content, and some folks were being told they were being dropped from the network, but who knows what's going to happen with Machinima now. But it's one of those big wake-up calls about this day and age that we live in, is that someday the place where all the content is being made may go under or choose to pull all the videos. I mean, I hate to say it, but Twitch would not even be immune to this. This is a great home right now. I'm loving that we've been exposed to new folks. Shout out to any new people that have just discovered OLR because of our move to Twitch recently. Say hi if you're out there. I'd love to hear from you. But if you want to lurk, that's cool too, because I like to lurk on Twitch feeds a lot too. Twitch may be gone someday. Who knows? Amazon might sell it. Twitch might, you know, do, who knows? It might be gone someday. I'm not saying negative. That's just the reality. Things come and things go, just like people. People come, people go, right? And that may happen to Twitch. But the good news is, at least this is still a podcast, so I feel like the content we're making couldn't disappear completely. At least the audio is still going to be there somewhere in space. I know there's that OL archive and stuff. Even if you can't download, you can download a lot of back episodes right now still. But, there's unofficial archives and people have MP3s.
This still ultimately was the decision of an individual business rather than YouTube coming down with their scythe and cutting a ton of content.
It was, but if you think about YouTube's hair trigger copyright content thing, that could have weighed in the decision.
Okay.
I mean, we can't say for sure. But that could have weighed in the decision. But I think ultimately it was kind of the copyright issue and the fact that, you know, there's still a lot of blurred lines. I mean, even when it comes to video games, maybe Warner didn't want to get put in the situation where somebody's doing a video about a Nintendo game and now Nintendo wants to sue Warner because, hey, that's my game in your clip. Because let's face it, a lot of these Let's Plays and things like that, as far as like copyright stuff goes, they still exist in this very kind of nebulous space where a lot of creators don't care. They turn a blind eye to it. But then you have companies like Nintendo who up until recently, I know they changed their thing recently, but up until recently was very actively trying to get a piece of the pie for themselves. You know, it's a little bit of a blur out there. So anyway, going to chat for some other comments here. Questbuster says Maximilian Dude's videos were hit like this, but he was able to put them back up as a YouTube partner after talking with them and working it out. One more, and then I'll get your comment. KArts1 says, glad to see YouTube MCNs gradually fading away as content creators are wising up to their predatory practices and going independent with fan funding platforms like Patreon. I never really considered Patreon as a YouTube competitor, but I suppose there is something to be said for that.
Yeah, a lot of people that have had to censor their content on YouTube in order to keep it monetized, like World of Wonder, who does RuPaul's Drag Race, they have to bleep out swear words. If you're a member of the Patreon or however that works, you can see the unedited videos.
That's another one with Vet Ranch, is they have to put up two copies of their videos because they do animal surgeries.
Yeah.
On there. And I like watching the surgeries, but...
Yeah. One of the horror YouTube channels I subscribe to is called Dead Meat. They do videos called Kill Counts. It's great if you're into horror. He puts his, if the movie is really nasty, he has to put it on his Patreon because he wants, he wants the, what I was going to say, Maximilian Dude, when I was saying, if you know who to follow on YouTube, you can see all of the speculation of like the little meta investigations as to who else is in Mortal Kombat 11. Maximilian Dude is one of the guys that I watch, and also Super, simply just the word Super, watch his gameplay videos of Mortal Kombat 10. And the combos he does, they're incredible. He's my favorite YouTube fighting guy.
Okay. Quite the endorsement. All right. Well, let's move on from those vanishing YouTube videos and talk about something else that's vanishing, right, Dark Sakura?
Yes, yes, yes. With a warning. The Wii Shop is going away on January 31st. Bye. Bye, bitch. But all of the functions, of course, associated with it are going along with it. Na, 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 na.
So meaning, if I wanted to re-download Final Fantasy IV The After Years, which was a great WiiWare title,
Wii Shop closes.
You can't do it.
No.
The Wii Shop's gone.
So what you will need to do to get your shit is that it's...
Pirate them.
Girl.
Just kidding. Don't do that.
You can re-download all your games. You can download them. If you go to the Wii Shop channel and go to titles you've downloaded... after the 31st, you won't be able to re-download the ones that you've deleted. The video streaming apps are going to be useless after a while, so you could basically make yourself tons of room to save all those games.
I think a lot of them already are useless. I think a lot of them already closed.
The other thing, too, is that if you've got Wii points, spend them.
You can't buy more. They turned that off a while ago. To be fair... They warned us about this.
But the money is disappearing in 2 weeks, too.
Yeah.
So.
But the day is coming up.
And the very last thing is, if you've got a Wii U, transfer your shit to your Wii U. Do all of it. We did a transfer a long ass time ago, so we're pretty okay with it. But, I'd hate for people to spend all this money if they have and then lose their stuff.
Yeah, and
it's frustrating.
One big thing I've been trying to do is that, you know, a lot of people bought the Wii, right? It was like one of the top selling consoles.
I was in line.
Ever, right? Yeah, that was something we did. But here's the thing to keep in mind with that. You probably know more casual gamers, like families that have a Wii in their house, that have no idea this is coming. Now, they may not use that Wii that much anymore, but I made a Facebook post. Then I just said, hey, I know I have some casual gamers that don't follow a bunch of gaming news, but if you own a Wii, you probably want to know about this, because I would bet I know people, like families, that just bought a 2,000 Wii points card, put it in there, and never spent the balance. So get in there, spend it, download it, let your friends know that are more casual gamers that happen to know a Wii, because they'll be pissed if it goes away and they didn't know. Like that one time they want to go fire it up again. Chances are, if they haven't booted up their Wii in a year, they're probably never going to. But I still think it's nice to give the heads up. And, you know, why not? It's a chance to go back and maybe rediscover some stuff on Wii, because it's, you know, older as that console is, there was some great stuff on the Wii Shop. Konami did those remakes of the Castlevania Adventures and the Game Boys. That has not come out anywhere else, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
The Final Fantasy IV After Years, they did do that. They remade it. So if you want the version with that, that looks like Final Fantasy 2 or 4 Super Nintendo, you got to get the one that's on the Wii. So, you know, just things to think about. But unfortunately, if you never bought the points, that you're already cut off on that. So you may have to turn to piracy for that. And I don't usually endorse piracy, but if we're at the point where that is the only way to experience some of that stuff, then what can we do? It also has a lot of people thinking right now about, and you know, it's funny, we got an email about this last week, so it almost kind of piggybacks on that, about why to buy games digital versus why to buy them physical. Mm-hmm. And this is something I think that really puts itself firmly in the go physical column, is that if you had bought stuff, you know, anything you bought on the Wii digitally, you can't re-download it. You can't get, it's got, if your Wii gets fried in a power failure or electrical storm, which I think happened to Bobby, that's it. Yeah. Sayonara. So something to think about, you know, and I think I have a lot of people thinking about, oh, maybe with the Switch. Now the Switch has been very widely successful, but so was the Wii. So as long as you are okay with the Switch getting shut off in 10 years, I don't know. All right. Going to chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Bobby Blackwell says, yep, lost all my Wii digital purchases. Granted, I maybe spent $30 total, but that's still 30 bucks, right? Let's see. Metal Mayhem points out, the thing is, Rob, PC games are rarely physical nowadays. Very true point. I'm not sure how to respond to that. I mean, shops like Steam have it written into their rules that, like, if Steam ever gets pulled down, they have a button that they can press that kills all the DMCA. So you'll at least be able to play your purchases. And let's be real. There's a lot of abandonware, right, where people are like, well, technically, copyright apply or law only applies so long. I think Nintendo would feel very differently about this and the ROM sites they took down. Yeah. But whatever. It's, I think a lot of companies turn a blind eye to it. But there's this abandonware thing where old games you can usually download. GOG tried to market this stuff, but GOG couldn't survive on it. They're trying to, you know. Yeah. It's kind of the sideshow of their service now.
Anyway. And now they showed their true colors too, what jerks they are.
That's a whole nother Oprah.
If there's a special edition of like From Software announced Dark Souls trilogy, and you can buy a super mega edition with like a or like Mortal Kombat 11 with like a bust of Scorpion and like, you know, I don't know, a cloth tapestry to put on your wall, like fan stuff, like
a plate and spoon and fork, like, and a clock.
If you're willing to pay $150 for this special edition that comes in like a big box, you can get the game plus all this fandom crap. Those are only for the console version of games now. You can't get those. I think Skyrim was the last PC. I mean, I'm sure Skyrim was like 7 years ago. So obviously I'm sure there have been some since, but by and large for the last 2 or 3 years, if you want the special fan stuff, you have to get it on console because they don't make those for PC. You can just download the game is my point.
Let me read a couple other comments from chat here. Nifty805 says, someone somewhere is still buying Just Dance for Wii. True. I mean, remember, sometimes in other countries, places that aren't the U.S. or one of the main European territories where games are launched first, or Japan, if you're in a different country, sometimes you do get stuff later. And, you know, like we've had on the show before, in Brazil, the Sega Genesis is still kind of having its heyday. You know what I mean? Like that's
The Master System was big one.
For a long time because, you know, after it kind of died here, they got a lot of the
Genesis conversions were made specifically for the Brazilian market.
Yeah.
For Master System. So.
And it's not like Brazil is some small country. You know, these places are huge. There's a lot of people there. So.
Brazil's kind of fucked up right now. But.
Yeah, well, again, a whole nother robot. Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says, in fact, I bet you can still find Wii games or so at a thrift store or flea market. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's still tons of Wii games. Oh, yeah.
If we went to
a random
Denio's
thrift store, the flea market, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd find tons. Of course. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about our next story, which, Alan, I think you're going to talk about, which...
Yes.
Kind of on your LOL Anthem bandwidth a little bit.
So Visceral Games, who I believe also made Dead Space, I think, which EA ruined and drove into the ground. EA shut down Visceral Games in 2017. Visceral Games at the time was working on a Star Wars game that was codenamed Star Wars game codenamed Ragtag. When Visceral was shut down by EA, they gave those assets that Visceral had and spun it off to EA Vancouver. And it was supposed to, the Visceral's vision of the game was supposed to be, I think, single player campaign, just like a narrative Star Wars game. But EA Vancouver was supposed to make it into an open world, and open world is, I don't know, like, I mean, it, open world is like your Breath of the Wild, your Skyrims, your Elder Scrolls, your to say Grand Theft Auto already.
Sure, but yeah. Like, you know, that would have been cool. I would have played that.
Yeah. Well, it's been canceled. So when it was still a Visceral Games property, they did have a few screenshots or a few concept art things. So Visceral did have something to show. Nothing since this game was handed to EA Vancouver, they have not themselves put out little snippets of their own work. So it's kind of just been vaporware since it was handed to them. And now EA has confirmed that it's been canceled. However, they Star Wars Battlefront 2 is still being updated, and also Respawn, which I think is something under the giant EA umbrella, because really, who can keep track of how fucking big they are now, are working on a game called Jedi Fallen Order, and those are still things that are happening or will happen.
So EA is like, we're not just sitting on the Star Wars license, even though when LucasArts had it, they made 5,000 games, you know, but yeah. Now that we have it, but whatever.
So it was one of the last few...
Granted, it was LucasArts, but...
It was one of the last gasps of Visceral Games. It was given to EA Vancouver, and EA, I guess, didn't like where it was going or how it was turning out, so it's gone.
That's too bad.
Short and sweet.
That's too bad. All right, well... bummer for those folks that are working on it. It sounds like a cool concept. I wonder where it went wrong. Maybe it just was something that didn't work or didn't play well or didn't feel right. I don't know. Well, another game that is disappearing, but this one's already been out there, and it's a very different reason. Westward Mobile. That's right. I don't know how many of you guys are watching that show. Westworld, because it's based off that TV show, which I admittedly have never seen because I'm usually doing podcasts on Sunday night, and it's like, very few shows I ever watch anymore.
It's like androids in the Wild West with titties.
I've only seen the Drag Race parody. When they did West Girl or whatever they called it.
Breast World.
That was it. I saw that. And that episode was so bad because I didn't understand any of it. Because I guess it was a parody of the show. But anyway. And I don't know why Eureka never got sent home. But anyway, we won't talk about that.
That's a different podcast that you do.
Sorry.
Different show.
Anyway, Westworld Mobile was a little too similar to Fallout Shelter because Bethesda took them to court. Bethesda took Behavior Interactive and Warner Brothers to court over it. And you know what's happened? And you know, nobody knows if this is directly a result or what's going on, but Warner Brothers has pulled Westworld Mobile from the app stores. In-app purchases have been disabled in the game, and you can still play the game through April 16th. That is the day when it's going to be shut down for good. Previously, after suing the pants off of Behavior Interactive, Bethesda, and they both said the two sides claimed there was an amicable end to the lawsuit, but apparently that meant you got to shut the game down. And so they put out a little statement. We hope you've enjoyed playing it. We're sorry to tell you the park is entering a new phase and will no longer be taking applications for new employees. Da-da-da-da-da. It's going away. Bummer to those folks that spent money on the game. But again, like another side, and this is something I have to remember when I play Pokemon Go. When I spend money on coins and incubators and bag upgrades, which, yes, I may have done a time or two, okay? That is going to go away someday. Pokemon Go will not exist forever, right? You know, in 10 years, the technology will be so good, there's probably a different type of game that supersedes Pokemon Go, and that's the game that we're playing. You know, it starts to look like the Detective Pikachu movie, but in real life through our AR glasses, our HoloLenses, and all that stuff. But all that joking aside, like, you know, we have to remember this money we spend on things, it's not going to be around forever. And it's a hard lesson learned as well for this Westworld game, because I don't think they're doing refunds. I don't see refunds anywhere here. So when you buy things, it's for the moment, and that's that. So there it is. Going to our chat room, Let's see. Some folks in chat are talking about, SG100 Matt saying, I saw the original movie. That's it. Bonds 006 says, I don't know if he meant to say HoloLens, but it says, I want HoloLens in my actual glasses. I don't know. That whole Google Glass thing kind of went away. I know Microsoft still has HoloLens back there somewhere as something they're going to do someday on a more commercial front. Who knows? I would still think there's going to be that in the future. We're all going to have little things like Geordi LaForge on Star Trek. But for him, it was to help him with his blindness, if I remember right. For us, it'll be how we see AR, like a gaming device. I don't know. We'll see. Bobby Blackwolf says, they're doing a lot with HoloLens. You just don't see it because it's not in your purview. It's a lot of not gaming stuff, which, to be fair, sure, that's fine. And that's where Kinect kind of ended up being strongest, right? Like, Kinect, as much as Microsoft has pretty much killed that off for gaming, effectively, Kinect, as far as I know, is still going, especially in, like, hospitals and places where you need the very sterile types of environments where the gesturing and all that is actually really good to be able to navigate. So I would imagine HoloLens could have a similar market in, you know, this show focuses on gaming, but what could HoloLens and that AR technology do for other industries, medicine, science, you know, exploration? You know, imagine being able to put on the HoloLens and explore Mars from a rover that's sending you images back. Who knows? I don't want to get too sci-fi, but it is what it is. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura, take us to something maybe a little more traditional. I don't know.
Traditional-ish? It's not very traditional, but it's really nice. Fortnite. What do we hear about Fortnite all the time?
Angry 7-year-olds calling each other horrible names.
Well, Tim Sweeney, who is the game's creator, is doing other stuff. But it's not really much to do with the game itself. Now that he has Uber money from the Fortnites, he is actually doing some more philanthropy. He is using his money to buy parts of the Carolina Mountains so that they are not deforested. He's purchased nearly 40,000 acres of land, which makes him one of the largest private landowners in North Carolina. He's also used his money to participate in conservation parcel projects, like expanding 1,500 acres to Mount Mitchell State Park. And so he donated also $15 million for a conservation project for Box Creek Wilderness. And the other thing about the area that he bought is that it's part of the Blue Ridge Mountains, some rather untouched pristine land that corporations have had their eyes on for a while. He outbid them and took the land to keep it from being ruined.
Wow, that's a pretty big move.
Yeah.
That's why I always say a little more forests are the more traditional thing.
That he can do a battle royale for real. Your ass is going to get dropped into that forest.
Or is he setting up a preserve? Like, wasn't this the twist in The Village?
Possibly.
Sorry if I ruined that movie for you, but I actually saved you in a way.
I liked that movie, but it's only worth seeing once.
Yeah, it's like 20 years old. If you haven't seen it at this point, you're not going to.
I saw it in the theater. Anyway, but I'd like to read his quote about it, if that's kind.
Sure.
That's fine. It's one of the most diverse areas in North Carolina. It has such rare plant and wildlife species. It seems a perfect fit with the Fish and Wildlife Service. This is a first step. There will be other places protected. The goal is to connect South Mountain State Park to Chimney Rock. This is one piece of the puzzle.
I just have to read this comment from chat. I'm sorry because I'm cracking up. I'm sorry if I pronounce your name wrong. Jay's Unknown. Jay's You None. I'm sorry. I don't know which way it's pronounced. But says in the chat, 100 content creators get dropped into a forest. Yes, maybe this is his elaborate setup for, you know, all these people that play Fortnite. It's like, now show us what you've learned.
Drop
Ninja.
Drop Jake and Logan Paul in there.
And they get the frying pan to protect themselves. Sorry, Jamie.
Well, at any rate, the other thing is that he's actually been keeping full transparency on this so that instead of just, you know, being all fake and quiet about it, he's being very public with it and saying, no, this is it in writing. This land will not be developed. And just looking at the pictures of the scenery, it is super, super gorgeous. Now, he also did outbid for another piece of land, a 1,500-acre place that was called Stone Hill, that He actually outbid people that wanted to turn it into a fucking golf resort.
Can Tim Sweeney please buy all of the land around Dollywood and the Smoky Mountains and just to make sure Dollywood is always preserved and will be a monument to humanity?
Actually, I think that Dolly owns the land around it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, don't take it from Dolly. If Dolly owns it, Dolly keeps it. But, you know, I'm just trying to protect Dollywood.
And honestly, she's also someone else for her philanthropy that I'm really happy with because she goes out and gives all those books to kids. And
oh, yeah.
She does so much. And on top of that, she is so – it's kind of a rarity in the country music industry to find someone who's so LGBTQA, et cetera, friendly.
Luckily, we're seeing more and more of it, especially with the younger folks. So that's good. But I was going to say, since we were talking about perfect people tonight, Jamie Lee Curtis is in that list. I would definitely say Dolly Parton is absolutely in the list of perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Along with Dark Sakura, Rob Roberts, and Loki.
and Alan.
Yo, yeah, Alan's all right. Yeah,
I guess anyway. We could put Dan in there, too.
Okay, anyway, all joking aside, Bobby Blackwell says, I want Tim Sweeney to carve the initials ZZT into one of the trees. Who would have thought all those years ago? Did you ever play ZZT, Alan? Who would have thought all those years ago playing ZZT that this would be the guy that now is like literally saving the forest because of his success from Fortnite? Bobby also has the comment, the winning comment that says Fire Knight.
All we need to do is just have
a FYRE.
Find like a clearing and put like a fairy stones in the middle and then just leave it there.
All right.
With a cast iron pan in the center.
Let's move on to a couple more stories before we get to our classic game of the week. Although there might be a twist, so stay tuned.
Y'all wanted a twist.
All right. Anyway, we promised a twist in 2019, so stay tuned. You might be hearing about a game you've heard about before, but in a different way. All right.
Spoilers.
I'm not. You've done like 500 games, Jamie. All right.
Have I?
Yeah. This is episode 760.
There's that many games?
You started that segment, 250. Anyway.
Fucking A.
Moving on. Alan, what would you like to talk to us about?
Overwatch's next seasonal event, which is for the Lunar New Year. It's the Year of the Pig. No comments from the Peanut Gallery. Thank you very much.
Is it the Year of the Nasty Pig?
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave
Hi,
it at,
Delvin.
I'm going to leave it at that. drag her, expose her.
People watching are like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Just
from January 24th through February 18th, there's going to be ranked Capture the Flag mode, new legendary skins and epic skins of the sort of Chinese New Year motif. Soldier 76, who I will talk about in more detail in just a minute, is getting, if anyone ever saw Karate Kid 2, there's those little, I don't know if what the real context of the culture is, but at the end of Karate Kid 2, they had those little leather bound drums with the little beads on them that each family like had its own symbol.
I think it's Okinawan.
Okay. Okinawan. All right. It's that's very much like Blizzard to have a Chinese New Year event, but then put like Japanese cultural things in it because it's all one big mishmash, right? Who cares? So new emotes, victory poses, voice lines. You have about, I think, 3 weeks to get it. You get it via loot boxes. You can earn 3 loot boxes a week in arcade mode. For every third match you win, you get a loot box. So you win 9 matches total. That's 3. And then the more you play, you XP. You gain levels. You also get a loot box from leveling. So if you play the fuck out of Overwatch for these 3 weeks, you'll get enough loot boxes more than likely to get what you want to get. Because usually you're like, I don't play this character, so I don't really care about that costume, but I really want the Mercy one or whatever. Though I think she got one last year, so she's not due for one this year. So yeah, just you don't have to give Blizzard your money to buy these loot boxes. Just play the game.
But it helps.
Yeah, it helps. And also, if you're gonna get some money, wait until the last day of the event. Don't just give them $40 and open up a bunch of loot boxes because
you may get what you want, the free ones.
Yes. Yeah. So this was a new story back when it was very stormy and the show lost its power.
Yeah, the OLR week, we had to cut the show short, yeah.
I will keep this brief because I know all three of us in here could talk about this for hours. It was announced that Soldier 76 is canonically gay. I've enjoyed the fallout of that announcement from the people that it upset more than I care about the fact. I think 76, honestly, is kind of a boring character. I would have much preferred that Zarya is a butch les, because I know a lot of lady friends who are in love with Zarya and want Zarya to carry them in her big beefy arms.
But what we want in our fanfic isn't always what we get.
Yes.
So.
More ace characters, please.
Yes. Or Junkrat, I think, would be... He's not your stereotypical...
Okay, fan wank all you want. They might release some stuff later, though.
But anyway, so
this is what it is.
So people are upset. They're like, 76, they made 76 gay for no reason. I'm going to let all of you watching on Twitch and listening on the podcast in on a little secret. I myself am gay for no reason.
Wait, what? You're gay?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It just is how I turned out. So the reason why stuff like this is important is people say, who cares? Why does it matter? There's nothing in the canon to suggest that 76 was heterosexual. There's no official girlfriend. There's no dead wife story. He has a few lines of conversation with Anna that one could maybe infer was flirtatious. But unless someone says, oh, by the way,
I flirt with girls.
Oh, by the way, this character is gay. The default is to assume that he's straight, even though there isn't any evidence. Because, again, this is a video game. Some characters, of course, have the dead wife story where you're like, okay, he was married to a woman. He's probably... you know, at least bi. So for them to say, oh yeah, 76 is gay, for people to get so upset about that, it's because the 14-year-olds that are upset about this announcement don't see a character whose sexuality is ambiguous and go, oh, I can't make assumptions about this because they haven't said either way. No, they're going to assume, unless they're told otherwise, the character is straight, and that is why announcements like this is sort of like, hey, you make up like 85% of the population, so we're not really worried about you not seeing enough of yourself in media. So let's pick a character and just say, hey, I mean, there's already a ton of fanfic that him and Reaper have a very sordid past. Now that, you know, Reaper is dead and everything, and an edgelord in that Hot Topic mask. But yeah, it's been fun watching people say, oh, I don't care that 76 is gay. Why does it matter? But then the same people will also say, I don't want to play 76 anymore because I don't want people to think that I'm a fraggle, but not a fraggle. It's another word with an F and two G's. So it's funny, and I'm glad Blizzard did it just to stir shit, honestly, because ultimately it doesn't matter. And it's like the whole thing about people being triggered and the unique snowflakes. But when something like this comes out, the people that accuse people of being too sensitive lose their goddamn minds is hilarious to me. That's all.
Well, Alan, the chat room would like me to do this on your behalf.
No. So the one thing that I would like to see, because you could get a spray of 76 and his partner, who we've never heard of before. So this really is like something that Blizzard pulled out of their ass.
Wasn't there like a picture from an earlier thing that was brought up that like
that could be true?
Because
the Overwatch lore is so filled with like huge gaps of contradictory nonsense that you don't really follow the story of Overwatch that much. But I would love a dial, because 76, he's like a dad. He wears awful, clashy plaid polka dot clothes, and he like is a.
He wears socks with sandals.
Yeah,
for God's
and
sake.
And he's all about the barbecue, and he dances with like no rhythm, and he's kind of like, you know, this. So I would love it if they still snuck in, like if Anna says, 76, how about after the mission we go to brunch? And he says, you know, I love brunch or whatever. I would find that hilarious if they gave him more little dog whistle things aside from a spray of him and his boyfriend, because it wouldn't make him effeminate or anything. Just say, hey, the man loves his brunch. He likes a French toast.
Right. Oh my God. Sia Tabiri says bottomless mimosas. That could be a line. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Some of the chatters are saying, ow, that mic drop hurt my ears. I'm very sorry. I had to get the effect for the podcast listeners as well. I'm sorry. I didn't think it would be that loud. I did. And just if you're worried, there is carpet down here. It's a solid floor. It's like a rug here. So it did not drop on a solid floor. All right. Anyway. Oh, there you go. Isn't that funny? Nifty in chat says, Smush is breaking our hearts by refusing to make a cameo tonight. And so Dark Soccer just made it happen for you guys. There you go. Those of you that are
so that's
Smushy
all.
Let me hold him sometimes.
Blizzard did something really random, and people that claim to be above it all lost their minds, and I found that to be hilarious. And the Lunar New Year event is coming next week.
All right.
That's
well,
all.
I don't know if you'll find this hilarious as well, but probably not. But Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you know, I don't know how much you know about this game, but they took some of the BioWare approach where you could kind of select a lot of different paths for your character and that whole thing. And you can also openly romance whatever gender you want because it's 2019. And so we have that kind of reflection of, you know, of fluid sexualities in the game. So anyway, the controversy is coming from this first DLC, or excuse me, the latest DLC that just came out, Legacy of the First Blade Part 2, because in this DLC, you have a baby with another character. Now, that's not to say that gay folks cannot adopt babies, but you have a baby the old-fashioned way with another character. And so the child grows up and so forth. So some folks are kind of pissed about that because it broke the canons that they had for their characters before. Now, to be fair, Ubisoft has come out since and said, we missed the mark with the DLC, and they wanted to, according to the creative director named Jonathan Dumont, players should not be forced to engage in a lasting romantic relationship with the DLC character. The player can engage to carry on the Assassin's bloodline. They can choose to move on afterwards and continue the relationship. So I guess that's something they're going to be changing with the DLC and making that work out. So anyway, not handled the best way to be like, hey, you've got choice, psych.
One of the best games that has done this right, I think, is Sims 4. Because in Sims 3 or 4, you can be like, can this character have kids? It doesn't ask you what gender they are. Can this character have kids? Yes. How do you want them to, like, what pronoun, whatever. So it'd be interesting. It's because it's a video game. It's not real. If they just say, if there's the main character and his male gay romance and they have a baby, just don't explain it. Like, just don't explain where this baby came from. Oh, we had it the biological way. That's not, it's a video game. It's not real.
Or just, you know, figure, you know, it's not hard in this day and age to figure out how, you know, two people of the same gender end up with a kid. Like, there's many different ways to do it. Many, many, many. Anyway, I realize, though, this is a game set in history, but still, come on. You can't, like, do so much of this and then take, like, two steps back, you know?
Well, Assassin's Creed is based off of, what's the main storyline? Genetic memory, where you're going back through your DNA to the memories. That's not...
Good point.
That's not real.
Good point. That's not real.
So they don't need to make things make sense when it comes to stuff like this, in my opinion. Anyway.
Fair enough. No, I agree. Fair enough. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's get to another segment we like to do here every week on the show. We step into the gaming vault. I'm sorry, I did not yet bring in the music, so I don't have the cute little music just this week. I'll work on
that. I see how it is.
I'll work on a proper bumper for next time. Well, technically, tonight's segment is a little different anyway. So tonight, usually once a week, we have Dark Sakura step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you kids should be playing this game, and find a classic game of the week. But we mentioned at the end of last year, once a month. So what, in 2017, you did classic consoles, right? 2018, you did classic peripherals. In 2019, she's going to do classic soundtracks. So Dark Sakura.
Specific this year. 8-bit soundtracks.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know you were going that far. Don't box yourself in, girl.
No, because next year I'm going to do 16-bit.
All right. All right.
Because I'm lazy.
Well, what is the classic soundtrack of the week?
The Guardian Legend.
Great pick.
Because it has really good music, but since the game, people don't always recognize the game, you know?
And it's got such good music that I really am just like, why do not enough people give this game soundtrack its due? So the music was composed by Miyamoto Masatomo, sorry, and Santo Takeshi. And it actually, so much of this, I mean, it's still popular today that one of the most popular of the OC remixes is a Guardian Legend remix. It's like, was like the second most popular track they had in 2002. It was pretty crazy. And then several like cover bands, like video game cover bands, have done tunes from the Guardian Legend. But as for the composers themselves, just to give them some attention, is Miyamoto did, he actually was one of the music designers for Gardic and Zanac and Govelius for MSX2. I'm trying to look at some others that might have been known a little bit better outside of Japan. Xevious Fadrot Saga for MSX2. He mostly did like NES, SMS, and NES music, but MSX is what I meant. But is really just like mostly did the compile stuff. He also did some Godzilla games. As far as Santo, he basically worked on the same music tracks like Golvelius for MSX, Guardian Legend for NES, Tombs and Treasure, and Golvelius Valley of Doom for the Sega Master System. He also was sound effects designer for Psycho Chaser for PC Engine and Override for PC Engine. But at any rate, I don't know who would argue with me that this doesn't have a place amongst one of the top underrated video game soundtracks out there.
I love this soundtrack. It is so underrated.
I wish I had found the music for you that's my favorite. It's one of, I think it's like whatever the blue
I hate
is.
The bullet noises in this. They're so loud. So I'm sorry if that's overpowering things a little bit. But
this is something I'll listen to, like, the soundtrack in my car.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Amazing.
There's some good, a shout out to OC Remix, because we've been trying to feature them and their talents more and more. As we've moved over to Twitch, they've got some great remixes there. They have this orchestral one. It's been up there for years, but I love it. Like, it makes it sound like this game could be a freaking movie.
Yeah. But, you know, and we've all ranted and raved about this game, but the thing that, for all of the stuff that this game does, to have such an amazing soundtrack on top of it, it's just like, this is like the Monte Cristo at Disneyland. The perfect sandwich. That's what this is. It's the perfect, perfect game.
Do you have, like, a favorite song?
Well, yeah, so I was saying, it's one in, I can't remember the level it is, but it's, like, I think the blue background where it's all, it's one of the walking levels, one of the adventure levels. And it's just really chill. It's just a chill piece, and I'll listen to that just over and over.
I think my very favorite is the one we just heard with the very first corridor, Area Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
And I like this music, too. Because it sets the mood for the game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But and also you find Lolo.
You do.
Yeah, but again, it's just one of, I think, the best soundtracks there are. And like I said, you know, now I guess a month ago, this segment is going to be to highlight soundtracks that you might not be familiar with or might not have thought of amongst the best, but they really deserve the attention.
So you probably will not be highlighting Super Mario Brothers, because everybody knows that one.
Everyone knows it, or the Zelda games, or Mega Man.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to go in those directions. I'm going to go with the stuff that people don't often think of. And with as much as we talk about Guardian Legend, usually we're talking about how it plays.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, again, we've been doing the Classic Game of the Week since episode 250, and I'm sure this was one of the first 10. I don't think it was the first. The first, I think you did the game with the witches that you love, the scrolling.
Not Cotton. I didn't do Cotton, did I?
I thought you did do Cotton. Was like one of your first picks.
But
anyway,
I'm looking at it's Fantasy
Dark
Zone.
Dark Tetsuya's on it.
Oh, it's Fantasy Zone. Okay.
Yeah.
But Guardian Legend had to have been one of the first 10.
Guardian Legend was 6 episodes in.
Okay, so yeah, we haven't talked about it in several years.
I can't believe I did Blazing Star before that, but I love Blazing Star. And Kid Dracula.
I think it was one of those things, you were saving Guardian Legend for a week, then you couldn't come up with anything else, and 6 weeks in, you couldn't come up with anything else.
Well, then you did the week after.
I did.
And then Loki did the week after that.
You probably weren't here for a little bit. You probably took a break, so it happens.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, anything else to say about the soundtrack here for our classic soundtrack of the month, the Guardian Legend?
I'm still super pissed that the fan remake got C&D'd because...
Oh, yeah, there's some footage of it out on YouTube you can see.
But I just wish that they would just still do it under the table and release it anyway.
Well, you know.
That's Lolo.
I would hope... Isn't it Lunar or something?
I don't know, but I just bought Lolo because it looks like Lolo.
It does. But anyway, all right. I'm going to go ahead and kill the music there, take it back to us in studio. There it is, your classic soundtrack. Everybody's reading me because it says classic game of the week on the side. I didn't want to ruin it. If I'd put classic soundtrack, you would have known you'd get a soundtrack tonight. So just deal with it. All right, anyway.
He wrote you. Without any Roxy, thank you.
All right. I love the Guardian Legend. It's a great soundtrack. Anyway, we're going to take a little break here in studio. But what's awesome about tonight, so what we've been doing on Twitch for the past few weeks, because Dark Soccer has been working Sundays, she's kind of had a segment that fills in here. That she's been doing her Classic Game of the Week as a segment. Well, tonight we have something very special. We actually have a viewer video that's going to be talking about MAGFest. So SSJ100 Matt sent us a video, and I'm going to play it for you guys now. And he did a great job on it, where he's actually going to take you guys to MAGFest to get to experience a little bit of it. And I love this. And with Jamie, you know, hopefully coming back to the show full time in March, if everything goes her way with the work situation, I really want to invite other people to kind of help build this segment with us, like a little halfway point during the show. So we have a chance to get up and refill our waters and use the restroom and all that stuff. And, you know, hopefully we can feature other Twitch streamers. We can feature maybe some indie games or some other things. So anyway, I'll let SSJ100 Matt take it from here with a special look at MAGFest, and we'll be back after this.
Hello, LR and VOG Network. This is SSJ100 Matt. I am sending you the first ever video email to the mailbag. Now that the show is on Twitch, I figure this will be a fun way to send an email. It also gives Rob's voice a little bit of a rest so he doesn't have to read anything. So for years you've heard me, and along with many others, talk about MAGFest. I know that I've called in several times over the years to talk about it. And the one thing I always notice is that I have a hard time articulating and explaining what MAGFest is all about. Now that we have this wonderful platform of video, I figured, why don't I just show you what MAGFest is all about. Now over the course of the weekend, I took some pictures and shot some video and to kind of really show what my experience is there. Now, don't worry, podcast listeners. I'll do my best to explain what I'm showing. But enough about me. Let's get to it. So MAGFest is short for Music and Gaming Festival, and it takes place just outside of Washington, D.C. at the Gaylord National Hotel and Convention Center. The show runs 24 hours nonstop from Thursday to Sunday. The place hosts the panels, concerts, and various forms of gaming and fandom. The show is run by fans for fans. It's not corporate run, and none of the major studios or console makers are there. It has a strong, independent feel, and almost feels like a big video game party with your friends. First thing I'm going to talk about is the music portion of the festival. Throughout the weekend in the Grand Ballroom of the Convention Center, various video game cover bands and chiptune artists took the stage. This year's group of talent was a stacked roster of artists such as MC Frontalot, The Tiberian Sons, featuring Command & Conquer composer Frank Klepacki, and friend of the VOG Network, Megaran. There was also Chiptune Rave, hosted by a slew of DJs. One concert that I really enjoyed was the Bit Brigade, who played the entire Mega Man 2 soundtrack while a player speedran the entire game. It was definitely a fun experience. Now the last concert I really enjoyed was performed by Brennelfoss. He performed at the Gaylord Hotel Lobby Bar, which was a first for the festival. It was really cool to kind of see him perform in a piano bar sort of environment.
Galaxy, you get to play as Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, or Toad. So crowd around, cause you found a mother load.
Now the cute aspect that I like about MAGFest is the music wasn't just dedicated to the concert halls. In these little squared off spaces known as jam pods, people can bring in an instrument or DJ setup to just jam out. It's kind of like MAGFest's take on street performers, but it's just regular attendees playing a DJ set or an artist covering gaming tunes. Moving on to the rest of the festival, one of the big draws to MAGFest is downstairs at the Expo Hall. The Expo Hall is home to a vendors hall, the MAGFest Indie Game Showcase, as well as the console free play and arcade room. Now both the arcade and console room are open free to play 24 hours non-stop during the duration of the festival. There are over 100 arcade machines that are provided by collectors and vendors from around the area and are all set on free play. No quarters or tokens required, and again, they're running 24 hours the whole weekend. If you have an itch to play a game at 3 a.m., you certainly could. So the arcade hall was split up into different sections. There was an area called Candyland that had a lot of Japanese-style sit-down arcade cabinets, which had various fighting games and bullet hell shooters all loaded onto them. There was a Japanese import and music game area that had a lot of Beatmania games like Poppin' Music, Beatmania 2DX, U-Beat, as well as Technica. Various versions of Pump It Up and DDR were also there. There were just a ton of games there, including Initial D and Bishibashi, just to name a few. There was a great selection of retro machines as well. I got to play some of my favorite machines like Road Blasters, Virtual On, Dragon's Lair, and Tempest. One great sight was seeing a F-Zero AX full motion arcade machine. Those were really hard to find and it was a huge line the whole weekend to play it. This year had probably the biggest showing of pinball machines. There were so many machines, both new and old, that were fun to play. There were dual table machines. There were tables from both big companies and small companies. There were tables with LCDs. There were tables that were just giant. There were just tables that I had never seen before. If you were a pinball fan, there was a table for you. Now, on top of all that, there were periodic tournaments in the arcade hall, ranging from games like Killer Queen to Windjammers to pinball tournaments to even a claw machine tournament. There was just so much to do in the whole arcade hall this year. Let's talk about indie games. The MAGFest Indie Game Showcase is always a treat and a great spot to see and meet a lot of indie developers. A friend of the show, YYR, showcased there a few times. One game I really liked is a game called Soundfall by Drastic Games. Soundfall is a music-driven dungeon crawler where players hack and slash their way through levels to the beat of music. The game looks beautiful and extremely well done. Be sure to check it out when it comes out this year on PC, Xbox One, PS4, and Switch. Now, the Indie Showcase isn't just dedicated to games that are set for mass release. There's some really wacky arcade machines as well. Some of these are just proof of concepts and not meant for mass release. One game in particular had you control characters using four juicers. As you can see here, users touch the direction they want to move their character that's on the screen using said juicer and oranges that were supplied. In the console hall, you can rent out various consoles and games at MAGFest's massive library to play at any time during the weekend. Say if you wanted to play Adventure on the Atari 2600 or Time Splitters on the PS2 at 3 a.m., then you can just come on down to the hall and play them. There are over 100 TVs set up for people to play any game they wanted to in MAGFest's game library, and even run a tournament if you wanted to. One of the highlights of the Expo Hall that has become a frequent guest over the years to the festival are the BattleTech Pods. The BattleTech Pods are a fun experience where you can play a 10-minute free-for-all mech battle against other people in a fully enclosed pod with flight controls. After your game, you are even given a printout of the complete stats of your match. There were about 8 pods there, and were provided by a group called Virtual World from Michigan. All these machines, despite being built in the early 90s, were extremely well maintained and taken care of. And of course, they were free to play and were running 24 hours throughout the festival. Now, outside of the Expo Hall, MAGFest had a lot going on this weekend. There were a ton of different panels running at all times during the festival. There were voice actor panels. There were celebrity Q&As from people like WWE wrestler and hardcore gamer Xavier Woods. There were panels about teaching people how to make things. There was a class about how to make your own chainmail armor. There was a class taught by Freddie Wong about video editing. There were even some strange panels, like the lore and mythos of Disney's Haunted Mansion. The one panel that I've been waiting to go for years, but never got a chance to, was the Yoga for Gamers panel. It is something that's always popular, but I just never had the time to do it, but now I made the effort to try it out. This class was taught by an actual yoga instructor, who played some calming video game music while we did yoga. I'd never done yoga before, and for a first-timer, this was a really fun experience. Some have said that MAGFest has gotten too big and has outgrown its venue. I don't dispute that MAGFest has certainly exploded and has even branched out into other festivals like Mag Labs and Mag West. But this year's show had so much going on that the crowds felt spread out. There were the concerts, there were the panels, there were the cosplay and LARP scene, the expo hall, there was laser tag, there were bridge commander rooms and demo scene rooms. There was a classic computer museum, which I'm showing right now. There was also a massive board gaming room, which moved to a different location this year. Anyways, it did not feel like the 22,000 plus attendance that MAGFest reported this year. The crowd really just felt spread out and manageable. This was certainly one of the better MAGFests that I attended all my years of going. The staff of MAGFest really focused on being inclusive and accessible to everyone. Like, there were gender-neutral bathrooms. Registration pronoun ribbons were provided for people who wanted one. MAGFest even provided listening-impaired attendees licensed sign language interpreters. All in all, the vibe at MAGFest felt great this year. The big complaint that most people have, though, was the hotel situation. Despite there being 5 hotels within walking distance of the festival, those tend to sell out quickly. I, for example, had to stay off-site 2 miles away because I did not luck out with the hotel lottery system that MAGFest has. But even that turned out fine because the travel to the show through shuttle and ride-sharing was manageable and easy. All in all, I had a great time at MAGFest this year. If you're a gamer of any kind, I can't recommend MAGFest enough for you. So that pretty much wraps it up for me. I hope you enjoyed this video email and this little trip to MAGFest with me. And I hope this video inspires you to make your own video content for the show. But anyways, back to the show.
That was great. Oh my God, sorry, the video started over again because I didn't hit the button fast enough. But that was great. Thank you so much, SG100 Matt, for that look at MAGFest. That was so awesome. I loved it. I hope that doesn't scare you guys off from doing your own, because I think Matt has a lot of practice editing video. Yeah, I would hope that some other folks will consider doing their own video. I thought that was a great way, too, to take a look at something that maybe not everybody's seen before. Like, I've been to MAGFest, excuse me. I've been to MAGFest a couple times before, but I haven't been in a couple of years. So it was kind of neat to see how some of the offerings this year were a little bit different. And some of that cosplay, like, I know not everybody on the podcast will get to see this. Sorry, do the best we can. But there was a really adorable Snorlax cosplayer that showed up in that video. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cute. So, yeah, it was really great. And it felt like we kind of got to really see that through the eyes of one of our listeners and people that participate with the show, SG100 Matt. So I would really encourage you guys, you know, if you are going off to conventions that we need to see or be a part of, you know, send some video over. It doesn't have to be as graceful as what Matt did, but, you know, send us a little bit of an intro and an outro, and we'll figure out a way to put it together. So it was very, very, very cool. So, yeah, going to chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. We had some really great feedback there on the video. Alpha Kinetogram saying very grateful for that. And yeah, it was great. Loved it. So very cool. That was your first time getting to kind of see MAGFest. You guys here, Alan and Jamie, yeah. Did it look pretty cool? Look like fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looked pretty
so,
cool.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. We'll have to do something like that for Dragon Con too this year. So look for that. Maybe Vogue will produce our own stuff too. Anyway, we're going to travel around and do some rapid fire news now and talk about some other news that's happened in the gaming industry pretty quickly here in our rapid fire news segment. So let's go over to, where are we starting? I think Alan tonight with rapid fire. Yep.
So everyone's favorite video app for watching torrented movies and porn, VLC Media Player.
Or it also powers the videos. The video you just saw from SG100 Matt was VLC, is built into OBS.
So. I believe in truth and journalism, so that's what.
No fake news here.
Yeah, so VLC Media Player, which has been around for ages, that is true. The president and lead developer of it, Jean-Baptiste Kempf, has sort of wondered aloud, maybe VLC on the Switch would be fun and useful for people with Switch, because it's the owner base is quite large because Switch is a smash hit. Right now, VLC is available on Xbox One, so this is not completely uncommon for them to do something like this. So that is maybe a thing. It's just sort of, you know.
Yet still no Netflix, but VLC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's Hulu, at least, I guess.
Funny you should say Hulu. I love that segue.
Who?
Hulu is dropping Wii U support, the little Nintendo console that just couldn't, on February 20th of this year. I don't know if Hulu means, or no longer supporting it means you can run the app if you already have it, and if you try to contact tech support about it, they'll be like, no, that's old news. We don't help people with problems with that. Or if it means it's going to be like, if you try to load the app, it's going to give you an error message. The point is that they're not, if you have Hulu on the Wii U and that is your main source of watching Hulu, find literally anything else to watch Hulu on after February 20th.
Literally anything else.
Yeah, if you have Hulu for your toaster oven and they support that, watch your shows on the toaster oven with Hulu.
Or the Switch, which I imagine many Wii U people have moved on to Switch, many, many, many of them. So there you go.
Yeah, so no longer supporting, I think, is a vague term. It just means run Hulu anywhere else than the Wii U.
All right.
I'm done.
Speaking of things you can run on many different places, Rocket League, that full cross-play compatibility, it's live now. So PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, all can do battle. Psyonix did announce this past week that the cross-play beta support, so I guess it's the beta, but it's still live. So that means you can now all play Rocket League together. That is awesome. We've come a long way since last year when Sony was really dragging their feet on it. So this is great. I think there's going to be just more and more and more people that go in on this. So anyway, I guess it was 3 months ago they did the cross-platform beta. So now Rocket League players on all these different platforms, they have the option to randomly matchmake either with or against each other in all the different online match types. That is awesome. But you do want to make sure that the cross-play platform box is ticked in the gameplay tab. It is not something that necessarily will be enabled. We talked earlier in the show about the Nintendo games coming to the Switch Online, or the Nintendo games that are on Switch Online. We talked last week about Super Nintendo games possibly coming to Switch Online because of a data mine. Well, the data mine went a step further in this past week, probably because of the latest update we just got that brought, what games did we get? Blaster Master and Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link, and then we got that fighting game in Japan only. But anyway, also in that update, descriptions, some of them, for Super Nintendo game. Apparently, the description for Super Mario World that reads, "There's no time for vacation when Bowser and his Koopalings are up to no good during a vacation in Dinosaur Land," and so on and so on. It's the little flavor text for the game that's in the little library when you go to select games. It's in there now in English for Super Mario World. The interesting thing is that's the only game that has English. But some other languages like some other games like Super Mario Kart got a Spanish description. In fact, a lot of games in there now have descriptions in, looks like, 8 different languages, including German, Spanish, French, Italian, and so forth. All the countries where Nintendo usually localizes its stuff. The only one that's in there is Super Mario World for English. But folks have been able to data mine based on the descriptions, potentially. A launch lineup could look like this. Again, this is all rumors. But Breath of Fire 2, Contra 3, Demon's Crest, F-Zero, Kirby Dream Course, Kirby Dream Land 3, Kirby Superstar, Mystical Ninja, Pilot Wings, Poppin' Twinbee, Super Goals and Ghosts, Mario All-Stars is still kind of a question mark, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World, Super Metroid, Super Punch-Out, Zelda, A Link to the Past. That's a very solid list. You've got your Marios, your Super Metroid, your Zelda in there, but then you have some deeper cuts like Poppin' Twinbee, like Jamie's kind of losing it over there over, Breath of Fire 2, Mystical Ninja, and some more like deeper cuts that were good Super Nintendo games. So that's a hell of a launch. I hope this is a thing. Nintendo is about to go, "You wanted us to bring even more online. Here you go," thwack. So we'll see. Again, this is all rumors, but, I mean, why would they put the descriptions in there if they weren't planning to do something with it? Am I right, kids?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Actually, some pretty neat things. Bandai Namco released a little bit of teaser information about a new game focusing on the world of Dragon Ball Z in particular. So they've just listed as Dragon Ball Game Project Z Action RPG, as well as bringing out more characters for Dragon Ball FighterZ, including, says someone, from Universe 11. So now I have to go back and watch all that Dragon Ball again to figure out who the one from Universe 11 is. I have to actually remember what Universe 11 is and from Super. That's just how much I remembered of it.
I don't know shit about Dragon Ball, sorry.
Other than Ultra Instinct and Vegeta losing his shit like he always does.
I know that's a meme. I know that much.
He always loses his shit. That's just a trope. And then last but not least in this, there is going to be, well, at least it was listed this way as a separate download. They said that Final Fantasy X HD Remaster for Switch is going to be available on the game card, but Final Fantasy X-2 HD Remaster is download only.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, I've got originals. That's cool. I have an import of it. That's also cool. But
are they portable?
Well, no. But, I mean, I think it's just kind of weird that they would have one on the card and not sell the other. Especially with what we were going over for about owning the copy versus the deals, the downloadable.
Good point. One, this is rumor, but two, it's one of those things that, like, I could really see this happening because Mega Man Legends did the same thing. It might just be cartridge size limitations, and if they were to include a second physical cart, they'd have to up the price of it. So
why not?
Yeah, I don't know. So
or why not, like, take orders or something for it?
But I will say, I know you do have the originals, but the remaster is really good. Did you get the remaster on PlayStation 4 or PC or any of those?
No, I didn't get the remasters.
Oh, you should. They are good. They did a good job with them. So, and they're on PC and PS4 and everything else.
Does Titus still love like an idiot?
Of course. That's the part you have to have. Ha ha!
I'd rather not.
Yes, Alan?
The X and X2 remasters 10. For... Oh, sorry. 10 and 10.2 remasters for Steam PC are unfortunately, and I discovered this myself when I tried playing it about a month ago, and then I hit the forums and read it to see if I could do anything about this. It's actually hard capped at 30 frames a second, which on PC seems very silly.
I thought there was a hack for it.
I looked for one. I couldn't find one, but Square has since learned their lesson because Final Fantasy 13 and 13.2 and the Final Fantasy 12 remaster with Balthier and Fran all run at 60 or higher. So it's just 10 and 10.2, which is one of the first remasters they put out on Steam, aside from, you know, the little single-digit ones like 4 and 5 and whatnot, the sort of watercolored and 3DS ones. That is an unfortunate thing for the PC version.
In our chat room, great comment from Spyro Jonathan, who would know a few things about the Spyro series, saying... The same situation happened with Spyro Reignited Trilogy. Everyone had to download Spyro 2 and 3. So it's not like this is unheard of. And as I mentioned before, the Mega Man collection did the same thing. So interesting. I mean, for me personally, I love the fact that these games are coming to Switch. I love that they're going to be portable. I'm not going to buy them again. I have them on PC. I have them on PlayStation 4. My need to have it portable is not that strong. How often do you see me playing my Switch portable anyway? Like... When I go on a flight,
yeah.
Once in a while, Animal Crossing comes out,
or in bed when you're waiting for your eyes to get tired.
Yeah, that's about it. So, anyway, all right, that's it. I think that's it for rapid fire news. But we want to travel around the world and check out some release dates and check out some video games coming to a store near you. So I think we'll start in the U.S. And you can take this over for Loki tonight.
Yes.
All right. What do you got for us?
On the 22nd, Chaos Child is coming out on Windows. For Windows. Also on the 22nd, The Raven Remastered for Nintendo Switch. On the 23rd, we have At the Gates on Windows. The 24th brings us three titles, Battlefleet Gothic Armada 2 for Windows, Life is Strange 2 Episode 2 Rules on Windows, PS4, and Xbox One, and My Memory of Us on the Nintendo Switch. That's all on the 24th of January. The 25th brings us Resident Evil 2 Remaster on the Big 3. Actually, that's not Big 3 because Nintendo Switch would be in that. On Windows/Steam, PS4, and Xbox One, the Resident Evil 2 Remaster. Any releases after that bleed into the next week, so there's going to be another OLR
before the next
before that. But yeah, the 29th is Kingdom Hearts 3, but again, that is more than a week out.
Okay, so here's why I was thinking Kingdom Hearts 3 was this week, because looking at the Japanese release dates, they're getting Kingdom Hearts on the 25th, so they're getting it a few days earlier, so Kingdom Hearts 3 will be out in the wild officially. Not any of that.
Is it 2002 again? What the fuck?
I know, right? So in Japan, looking at the Japanese release dates, obviously that is the huge tentpole for this week, and there's not a lot of games going up against it. Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out in Japan this week on the PlayStation 4. Very big deal. I believe there's a whole little, like, you can get the game with, like, an arts statue thing. I think they may even have a special PlayStation for it out there as well, which is a pretty big deal. But also coming out, actually, Biohazard is coming out. Biohazard 2, so Resident Evil 2. So it's going up against Kingdom Hearts over there in Japan. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. Going over to some other releases. Senran Kagura Burst on the... I'm sorry, that was a U.S. date that snuck in there. Higurashi no Naku Koro no Hyo. In Japan is out on the 24th. So there's a couple games sneaking in there the day before Kingdom Hearts, but that's it. Suke to Suke, Tude Sankaku Renai, and Sengoku Hime, Senun Sanuraku Guren no Ishi in regular and limited edition. Checking the Switch real quick to see if anything's coming out there. No, I think they're taking the week off, probably conceding this week over to the PlayStation 4 and the huge, huge, huge release of Kingdom Hearts 3. So traveling over to Europe, were you able to get that?
The Raven Remastered on the 21st, on the 24th Resident Evil 2 Remake, and also on the 24th Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story plus Bowser Jr.'s Journey.
All right.
That's it.
Well, we are about to go to the mailbag, but before we do...
I just realized I should have downloaded and played the Resident Evil 2 demo for PC. It may not even, because I know for Resident Evil 7, where you start in the house and you have that flashback of the journalist, that demo, you can't get it anymore because they want you to buy the game. So I hope that that demo is still available. Did you get it for any of your consoles?
No. I mean, no. It's just not.
Don't cur.
I played the one on PlayStation and I did really enjoy it, but it's just like, you know, again, the scary violent stuff is not usually, but yet I live for Silent Hill and all that stuff. So it's like, there's exceptions to every rule, but I haven't been up and up on the Resident Evil. Sorry.
Yeah,
but there was a story we cut from the show tonight that talked about that, you can like extend the time on the demo somehow.
Bobby Blackwolf is saying right now in chat, the RE2 demo lasts 30 minutes and then it's over one time play. So it self-destructs. I know on
there's
YouTube
you can do to
I know
stop
on YouTube and Twitter I saw links to videos of people beat Resident Evil 2 new demo in under 3 minutes, which I don't know if it's an 80% glitch thing or you just run past all the zombies and you're at the end. Hey, you don't have to shoot a goddamn thing.
People are speed running demos. It's great. Well, then again, I'm laughing, but our buddy Flacco Jones did the PT thing for a long time. So yeah, people do.
Even if you don't finish the demo, it's over. Oh, so it's just, you have 30 minutes, bitch. Hurry up.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Well, they want you to, the object is to make money. So they don't want to give the whole thing away for
free.
The
object should be to entice me to play the game, not frustrate me. But,
all right.
You know what's a good demo, Ni No Kuni?
Stop. Now you're trolling. All right. Let's get to the mailbag. You guys like to email us over at participate@orangelaundradio.com, and we read your emails live on air. I get to take a break this week because Jamie's back. So your turn, Jamie.
All right. Hello, Alar. We don't have music for this anymore, do we?
Not yet. That's one of my future improvements. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
We'll have little – my plan is to do little intro titles with like little like titles and the music and all that dumb stuff. Yeah.
I was just like, why is it quiet?
Yeah, sorry.
Right?
In the future.
I write to you with the boldest of bold predictions for 2019. It's probably too late for the time capsule, but it's too ballsy to not share. This is actually a two-part prediction. The first part of this is that Microsoft will reveal the successor to the Xbox One this year. For now, I'm just going to call it the Xbox Two, or maybe it's number two. Ha ha. The second part of this, and the one that could really shock the gaming world if this comes true, is if Microsoft were to come out and say, hi, did you buy the Xbox One X? Well, if you did, guess what? You already own something that will play Xbox Two games. Even better, you'll get to play them before the new console even comes out. As far-fetched as this may sound to some, I believe there's a good chance it could come true.
Can I jump in here? Because actually, Microsoft, I believe has this actually wouldn't quite be the shock that you're saying. I mean, sorry, I don't want to like disargue what you're saying, but Microsoft has kind of said.
Why don't we let him the email finish?
Oh, I'm so, is he addressed this? I'm sorry. Okay.
Stop jumping the gun, Rob. The likelihood is that Xbox 2 is just going to be a more powerful Xbox One, down to being 100% backwards compatible. And the reality is the Xbox One X has over 4 times the graphic performance of the original Xbox One. It's almost a generational power gap. Would it truly be impossible for the One X to run Xbox 2 games at a slightly lower level of performance or detail? Microsoft has demonstrated with their backwards compatibility initiatives and other consumer-friendly policies that your investment in Xbox games can move forward in time beyond the console's generation where the investment was made. This would be the ultimate form of doubling down on that philosophy, and I, for one, hope they do it. I'll end this by addressing something that was discussed on last week's show. The whole light guns can't work on LCD things. Namco already developed a gun controller that works on LCDs back in 2007. It's called the GunCon 3, and it works using the same type of infrared technology that the Wii Remote uses. However, it uses 2 sensors instead of the Wii Remote's 1, vastly improving its accuracy. The controller works perfectly and is a lot of fun to use, but unfortunately only 3 games were ever made that support it. Time Crisis 4, Raising Storm, and Dead Storm Pirates, which I didn't know Dead Storm Pirates came out, and I need to have it because I fucking love that game.
Well, you better if you're going to buy it on the eShop, you better do it for the 31st.
No, I'm going to get the disc.
Good.
Oh, well. Congrats on the successful move to Twitch, and have a great week. Hugs, Aaron YYR.
Okay, so it didn't totally address what I was going to say. So, but
yeah,
but
we should let our listeners
yes,
finish.
Yes, fine. Let me finish. But here's the thing. When the X, I could swear when they announced Project Scorpio, they said something about that was the direction that they were going, that they want it to be you to be able to like that Xbox was just going to be like a platform and that you'd have these different players for a platform, kind of like iPhone, right? Like most iPhone games that come out, you can play on your X, you can play on your 8, you can play on your 7.
10.
You know, so whatever. You can play as Mortal Kombat X is on the brain tonight. But you can play on all these different phones. They might run a little slower. They might have decreased performance and lower graphics on the older stuff. But for the most part, they'll play on a variety of things. And so I know we've kind of had this talk before because I feel like Microsoft has kind of tipped their hand that this may be where they're going. Now, where I do think in the email is kind of like, oh, I didn't think about that, is when YYR mentions, and you'll be able to play them here first. That would be something kind of, like, can you imagine if, like, you know, a console is about to come out with these launch titles, but yet the launch titles are playable on what you already have, but if you want to play them better, you'd get the new console. It'd be interesting to see what the effect that might have.
Perhaps it would be, like, sort of a limited one. Like, for example, some of the RAM cart games for the Saturn, you could play some of them without them,
right,
but you would be missing, like, frames of animation or features in
right
the game. Like, you'd get music or animation or something like that.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to, like, I wasn't trying to be rude to the email. I just feel like, we've had this talk about Microsoft and, like, the phone ecosystem type of thing before. So I feel like Microsoft's kind of tipped their hand that they're thinking about going this way anyway. But you kind of, the rest that you spell out there is very interesting, and we'll see how that plays out.
There's only one other email.
Okay.
That came out this week. There's a cool game that came out this last week that I've been playing. Was just curious if anyone has checked it out or not. It's called Farm Together. It's surprisingly extremely fun and a really good time killer. I found myself losing track of time, getting lost in the progression system. You can play by yourself. That sounds personal. Or with friends or random people. That sounds fun with random people. It's actually crazy how seamless the loading time is going into other people's worlds. It's only $20 and well worth it in my opinion. That might just be the perfect kind of game you can stream and play with viewers. Anyway, and till next time, Frodo Swaggins, P.S. Hi, Jamie. Hi.
I did not know this game, but I love listener recommendations, so I'm going to have to check it out.
The show.
Thank you. That's it for emails?
Yes.
All right. Well, we hope we'll get some more emails
in
coming weeks.
This is how the inbox is supposed to look, Rob. Empty.
Oh, I can't see because you're not on cam. Sorry.
You know what? Look at this. Do you guys see this? This is what the inbox is supposed to look like.
Damn it. All right. She can do that now. She couldn't do that before. All right. Moving on. Let's get back into some more gaming news. And then a little later in the show, we're going to be taking your calls via Discord. Stop it, Jamie. Stop playing with the camera. All right.
It's kind of fun.
All right, let's get to some stories. Alan, what do you have for us?
Microsoft, who's the author, or sorry, developer and publisher of Forza.
Publisher. I believe it was developed by Phase 10. Oh, God, what's
Series 5?
What's their name? Something 10. Anyway, sorry. I forget the developer in the moment.
Totally killed my own momentum story. Microsoft, the
turn 10. That's it.
There were going to be emotes of Vine, internet meme, YouTube culture, the Carlton, the floss, which is what cultural phenomenon Fortnite is also doing. But Fortnite is getting the shit suit out of them by all of these different content creators or dance creators. So in a preemptive mood to avoid all of this BS, my point is that Forza is getting those stripped out. Microsoft is washing their hands of it. They, at the very least, they want to see how the Fortnite stuff plays out. Because I know that Alfonso Ribeiro of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who has the Carlton, he also did it on...
Silver Spoons.
Oh, yes, and Silver Spoons. little Ricky Schroeder. So he is... suing Fortnite. I don't think... I was going to say Soulja Boy, but the Soulja Boy dance is not in Fortnite. But a bunch of other people... I actually, when Jamie was reading the emails, I was furiously Googling to see if something that I had heard on a podcast about choreographers was true. You know, in Hollywood, there's all these different unions. There's the Screen Actors Guild, the Writers Guild, Directors Guild, and they all say, if this is a hit and it's being played 15 years from now, or a Blu-ray box set of this is sold, we still get a check cut to us, which is why all of the actors from Friends, they don't have to make anything else in their life as far as new material.
Lisa Kudrow continuing to grace us with her presence is a favor. It really is.
So, and I had heard that choreographers were one of the few entities in Hollywood that don't have a union sort of caping for them, so they're sort of free agents. So... if, like, there was that lip sync battle show with Joseph Gordon-Levitt where he did against Anthony Mackie, I think is his name. He did Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson, which is one of the most iconic dances of all time with the march, march, turn. And I was wondering, obviously they had to pay Janet and her label rights to use Rhythm Nation on that show, but they also copied the dance from the video step for step. Does the choreographer, whether it was Paula Abdul... Or whoever it is, got a
royalty. Who really did do some of the choreography.
Yes,
with the
That's how Paula Abdul got her start before she went into singing. Anyway, if that person also got paid, it's a very interesting question that this Fortnite dance thing has revealed. The Google reading that I did while emails were being shown were that actually it's all up to the contract that the choreographer has with that studio. There has to be a recording of the thing that makes it permanent. Like, this is how this dance goes. But yes, actually, dances can be copyrighted and choreographers can receive royalties. The question is did these individuals who came up with these Vine and YouTube meme dances, if they had taken that step to copyright that stuff, however that's done.
Like Backpack Kid, who's more of a meme than an actual...
Like Backpack Kid, who did the floss on SNL.
Which, no, I will not be doing those dances again.
If they sort of shot themselves in the foot by waiting until someone else copied their intellectual property before they sued, I find this whole story fascinating.
I do too, because it just kind of all goes into, like, there are these new, like, the technology is going faster than the laws that really support it. And this has to even do with, like, Let's Play and the things that, you know, are big on, like, Twitch and so forth right now. And it's this really uncharted space, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But I don't blame, it was actually Playground Games did Horizon Turn 10 did the base, the main Forza series, whatever you want to call it. So sorry, I misattributed that. But Forza Horizon is, that's why I was frustrated. I couldn't remember who did it because I love that series. It's so good. But I can kind of understand why they're like, oop, maybe we just want to slip that out and see. You know, we got a bunch of other dances in here. Maybe no one will notice, you know, but, you know, they wanted to take that preemptive caution.
So who knows how long the Fortnite lawsuits are going to take, or whether they are settled out of court and there's an NDA and we never hear what actually happens, if the dances stay in the game or not. But Microsoft is like, let's have them get muddy and we will watch the after the, you know, the embers cool off, mm-hmm. if they're going to put those dances into the game. And I imagine I'm curious to see if it's settled, if Microsoft will include the dances, even if it means they have to write those people a check, or if they're going to be greedy and say, okay, actually we can't use these dances, but we're not going to pay them royalties either and just strip them out entirely. It's all fascinating to me. But anyway, yeah, no dances in Forza for now.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about something else that seems to not be happening for now. I don't know. But, you know, Mighty Number 9, remember that? That was the, you know, the Mega Man, we're going to make this game because they're not making a new Mega Man. And then the actual guy who made Mega Man went over to make this game. And it was met with some mixed success. Some people were like it. Some people say it's not so great.
It was as welcomed as a fart in an elevator.
You know what? Having done the playthrough, like, I can kind of see both sides of it. I understand why people were into it, but I also understand what it was lacking. But anyhow, the point is, when they did this Kickstarter and all this stuff, they said it was going to come to these platforms. And now it's interesting because, you know, we're seeing this happen with a lot of different Kickstarters and things that have been crowdfunded, is that by the time the game is finally ready to come out, these platforms don't necessarily exist anymore. So a lot of people have still been asking, though, because Mighty No. 9 does have its fans. People are still asking, you know, I backed this to see a 3DS version of it. 3DS when? And I don't know, guys, but Nintendo of Europe recently removed the listing for Mighty No. 9 3DS on the official website. It is still on the North American website, but that should be something, you know, interesting that it's removed from the Europe version. You know, Level 5 did absorb Concept, so maybe something happened there. Nothing was ever really concretely said on the Vita port either. Everybody's just assuming it's dead because, well, not even Sony is planning to support the Vita much longer, certainly beyond this year. So, yeah, don't know. And people are wondering, is Red Ash still a thing that's coming? And how is this treatment going to impact Red Ash, if at all? And, you know, so forth. I don't know. Like, I have to admit, like, if they're just going to kill it on the 3DS platform, fine, come out and say it's done, because the Switch does handheld and it can all happen over there. Like, just do it. And the people that backed it on the 3DS can redeem it wherever they want, on the Switch or the PC or what have you. But it would be nice to kind of have some definitive answers there. But it is a very interesting side effect of crowdfunding and just how long some of these things have taken to download. VG Realness in chat says, okay, but for real, how long ago did that Kickstarter start? Bobby Blackwell says, I first donated to it in 1984. It's been around a while. SJ100 Matt says, I loved Mighty No. 9. It's really shitty, though, that they didn't honor what they said they were going to do. I'm a mixed bag. Like, the 3DS is still an active platform. Nintendo's still supporting it with the Luigi Mansion 2 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about it. I kind of feel like the Switch is also portable. It's better, whatever. But I get the argument. But kids' console, you know, even Loki bought the 2DS for his kids this past holiday. And, you know, that's been a big thing. I'm sure they were playing that on the car ride down to the broccoli farm. So, anyway. All right. A few more stories for you guys before we get to our Discord calls. Yes, we are changing it tonight. We're going to be taking calls via Discord. I'll outline how that's going to work a little closer to when we get to the segment. But if you are not already on our Discord, you do want to get there. VogNetwork.com/Discord is all you need to get into the Discord server. And all the instructions right now are pinned in the Orange Lounge Radio channel. But I will reiterate, we're going to be doing it a very similar way to how, you know, we were inspired by some other folks. So we'll illustrate how that's going to work. Excuse me, a little later on. But first, we have some more news for you guys, including another story from Dark Sakura.
Yes. Well, and it's a shame that Shane isn't around for this one, because there's a Power Rangers fighting game coming out for my birthday. For me, for my birthday.
They made it specifically for you. It's
actually, this is in April.
Dark Sakura's Power Rangers.
It's called Power Rangers Legacy Wars, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. So it's Rangers and villains, old and new, versus each other. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and eventually PC. Being worked on by Enway, Hasbro, and Lionsgate to do 25 years of American Power Rangers stuff. Although, I don't know. I want like a game like that, but I want it to be the entirety of all Toei
Which
Super
is
Sentai.
Hundreds of Sentai.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
The one that Shane was really into was the train. The ones where they were, when they their Mechazords, whatever, were trains.
My favorite was Mega Ranger, which we got as Power Rangers in Space. And I hate Power Rangers in Space, but I love Mega Ranger.
And it seems like they skip seasons here. Like, they never brought the train one here, but they bring other ones here. Yeah. It's interesting
we
how
had
that
Car
works.
Ranger. As, I don't, what was it, Turbo?
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought out, I don't think they did Maji Ranger over here, did they? But anyway, yeah, I think they do kind of skip
I mean,
seasons.
In Japan, I imagine they do like 3 or 4 a year. Shane would know. You're right.
I thought they did like one a year, like one new series a year. But
Nifty in chat says, I want TV Rita. That would be awesome.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. So, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I do like a good fighting game, and Power Rangers are fun. Even if I'm not as into it as everybody else, I still appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's move on. We got some more stories. Something in one of your favorite series, sorta. Right, Alan? Sorta?
Yeah. I bought Elder Scrolls Online like a year or two ago when it was on sale, one of the many 80% off Steam holiday sales type situations. I've never installed it or activated my account or registered it or anything.
You should think about that.
I'm mostly talking out of my ass here, but I am a huge Oblivion, Morrowind, Skyrim fan, especially when it comes to playing them on PC and mods.
He has beat every quest in Skyrim, besides the generated ones and that.
Yeah.
Beat everyone.
There's one exception to that, the vampire DLC.
Oh.
I have not finished that storyline.
But weren't you like, it's trash?
Well, no, it was just I need to wait for mods for this to make it better.
Okay.
Mods make it better.
I thought you didn't like the whole vampire concept. I thought that's what it was.
So, the latest expansion for Elder Scrolls Online, it's Elsewhere, which is the land where... Ah, what's happening on the camera?
Food is important.
That is going to be released on, thank you, June 4th. Elsewhere is where the Khajiit has wares if you have coin. The cat, they make really good assassins, so you're going to go there. And it's a place that I don't think you've visited since the early, early Elder Scrolls games like that were, you know, on the 486 or whatever, your Dagger Falls and your arena where all of Cyrodiil or Tamriel was available to you. This is what this place looks like with modern graphics. And it's going to be via, I think Elder Scrolls Online takes place, I don't know where it is on the timeline, but it's way, way, way in the past, so they can do whatever they want and not have it worry about the continuity. So there's a trailer for it on YouTube. It looks very pretty, and if you're into the cat people, if you're a furry, no, I'm just kidding, look forward to it, and that is coming out on June 4th.
All right. Yep. Cool. I that's one of those games. I'm like you. I bought it on PlayStation 4 on like an Uber sale, and then I was like, it's okay, and I didn't really play it again, but I need to check it out again because it was pretty cool. All right. Anyway, let's see. I think this is our last story for tonight before we get to our Discord calls. So if those of you that are on Discord, if you want to start lining up in the green room, you can. But for now, one more story for you guys. And, of course, it had to be about this. Well, you know New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe came out on the Switch, which is the reimagining of the Wii U. So, of course, you know where I'm going. You can read it in the sidebar, but even those of you that are listening on the podcast, you know where I'm going with this. Of course, it's been modded and hacked already because hackers are going to hack. And what did they do? They put Bowsette into the game. That's right. Bowsette is already been hacked into new Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. And folks are playing already as Bowsette in the game because, you know, you're supposed to be able to do this whole, like, Peachette thing where she takes on Toadette. But, of course, somebody made it so that you can play as Bowsette. So those of you that are like, Bowsette waifu, you can actually play that and live out your fantasy in the privacy of your own home with the lights off and all that good stuff if that is what your heart so desires. Anyway, ActDeft in chat says, I pass. Orange Wright says, did they talk about the Donkey Kong 64 charity live stream? No, but I believe that is what I was just reading about that before the show went live tonight. Let me explain the Discord thing, and then I'll jump to that, Orange Wright. The way its calls are going to work now on Discord is that if you would like to be on the show tonight, you're going to join our green room. So in the Discord, there's a channel that says green room. You just join that. There's already some people in there now, so you can see where it is. Then if you want to mention a little bit about what your call is going to be about in the Orange Lounge Radio channel, that helps us kind of know like, oh, this is what we're going to be anticipating and expecting. And then one at a time, we'll drag you into the live room where we're here with the studio, and you can be on the show. Please do not be offended if you're not picked to be on the show for a night, because we're going to try to really mix it up with new people and familiar faces around these parts. Also, although I know our pal Bobby Blackwolf also made a switch tonight, we will not be incorporating video at this time. We're not Orange Lounge Video right now. We're Orange Lounge Radio, so we're still going to just keep these calls audio only for now. Not to say I won't change my mind on that in the future, but especially with the way we're doing it to set up to work with our technical setup, where we're using two different computers to accomplish the streaming, it just makes more sense for us to do the audio only. So, all that being said, I wanted to address the comment really fast that was said by Orange Wright about the Donkey Kong 64 charity live stream. So apparently they were doing, and I'm sorry, I don't know all the details, and Orange Wright, feel free to help me out in chat if you know more of the details, but apparently it was like they're doing a charity live stream, and it was for like some type of trans charity. I don't know if it's like education or protecting trans youth, but I know it was like a, you know, bringing awareness for that. And I just know her as AOC now, but she's that one new Democrat in the House that people really cannot stop obsessing about. And, you know, with good reason. She's got quite some strong ideas and has no problem putting them out there. So anyway, I'm not going to get into politics. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I believe, is her name. Is that right? Okay, thank you. So anyway, apparently she was on this stream. And I don't know if they called her or what the deal was. They asked her to come on or whatever, but she actually joined the stream and gave a little chat and talked about how the Nintendo 64 was her favorite console. And even though she didn't have one herself, she went over to her friend's house to play it, which, you know, mood. That was me, exactly, right? My buddies upstairs in the college dorms had it, so I had to play theirs. She then went on to talk about, you know, why the trans protections are important and so on, and why the charity was a good thing, and kind of give that political angle. But, I mean, it is something to say, despite however you feel about politics. Like, I don't really care right now. It is something to say that a member of the House of Representatives just appeared on a Twitch live stream. Like, if you don't think Twitch is mainstream, y'all, it's here. Right?
Well, have you seen her tweets lately, too?
Oh, well, yeah, she's very, yeah. She's a meme machine.
All your base.
Well, you know, even if you don't agree with her politics, I don't agree with her politics 100% of the time, but I'm at a good, like, 70, 80%. But anyway, had this picture of herself with a glass of wine watching Drag Race, and I was like, mood.
She says she wants to be a judge.
I think part of the reason why I like her from that element, again, you know, I'm really trying not to touch politics, but just like I feel like I see somebody from my generation and my people in Congress, and that is a really cool feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's part of why I really like it. And to see her jump into a Twitch stream, I think is really awesome. So anyway, let's see.
I do have one.
Yeah, please.
My favorite headline and response to AOC and whatever controversy her antics inspired. There was a story, I don't know if it was Wall Street Journal, wherever, that was like, given AOC's antics, should we be electing more millennials to Congress? And the response was, well, given how linear time works, I think that's going to work itself out.
Yes.
I died.
Yes, well, yes, I think that will just inherently happen. Anyway, all right, we're going to for the very first time start to take some calls via Discord. So we're going to get to our very first Discord caller, who I think should be there. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
Hey, ActDeft, it is great to hear from you. You're the very first one. Do we sound okay?
Yeah, you sound pretty okay, pretty great. Yeah.
And
hey.
You sound great to us, so
hello.
Welcome. And I know you wanted to talk about something tonight that I kind of addressed earlier in the show, but I want your take on it. So please, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, Pokemon Go, yeah, like always. But yeah, like you already talked about on the beginning of the show, it was the FIBAS event. It was the most frustrating 3 hours I have ever lived. And I really don't want to do that again ever. Like, yeah, wow.
It was why did you hate it? Why did you hate it?
It's not necessarily that I hated it, because the concept itself, when it was announced, I was, oh, this does look cool. It seems like a really, really good way to play instead of just like trying to catch a random Pokemon like in other community days. So it was okay on the concept, but the execution really, really failed. And like we were saying at the beginning of the show, 3 hours wasn't enough. It should have been probably a whole week, even just a weekend, just like Saturday, Sunday, do the missions,
yeah,
or
like
the investigations.
A mini event, like they did the love discs and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it would have worked fine. Like, really, really okay. But only 3 hours was not enough. It was really frustrating. Even though I did get a FIBA Shiny, and it was actually like good percentage of IVs. It was 93%. It's still like, my God, I was exhausted. Yeah. Even my leg hurts because I was driving all the with my friend, and we were pretty much traversing all over the city, searching for Pokestops that gave the missions.
Do you have a lot of spots in, because I know you're in Mexico and you know you're in Mexicali, if I remember right. Do you have?
Yeah.
I know sometimes in the other countries that aren't like the U.S. and Japan, Pokestops can be kind of sparse because ingress portals are sparse. Do you have like places like graveyards or parks or places that have a lot of portals, or do you really have to travel from place to place?
We're starting to get more portals now because more people are actually like playing ingress and getting to level 10. Even in my own house, my brother is a level 10, so we're making portals of Ingress.
And you know, actually, just a real quick aside, Ingress really stepped up some of their OPR reviewing right now, and they're doing like rewards. I got a new portal up in Ingress because I reviewed 100 candidates in OPR, and it bumped my submission to the top, and I got a new portal over at, I don't want to say where because I don't want to give away where I live, but a nearby park, and we just went there today because I was like, oh, there'll be a new Pokestop there, and there sure was, so it was kind of fun. But anyway, Alan, you wanted to jump in here too with something.
Yes, I was going to say I knew that I wasn't going to be able to set aside the 3 hours to grind these missions. So when the event started, I cleared out my missions and I got three of them because that's how many you're allowed to have. And those three were ultimately all I did. Two of them were to walk your buddy and earn a candy. So I loaded up, of course, Magikarp. So after I got those three Phoebuses and neither one of them were shiny, I mean, I didn't even finish those last two quests until 6 or 7 in the evening, which was way after it had finished.
I did a total of 4 quests.
I absolutely understand Niantic asking themselves the question, how can we incentivize playing the game for a certain period that's not as blown up as a community day? And this is not it. It was a swing and a miss. So as far as experimenting goes, great. But guys, this is not it.
Oh. I did 32.
Oh my God, you did 32?
Yeah.
Wow. I know Shane did a lot. Shane did a lot, and he got shiny on his first and one of his last. But he went over to the college here, and like because ironically, he tried to go downtown, but the women's march was going on the same day, which is cool. But it shut down all the streets, so he got frustrated trying to like park and get because there's just people everywhere, which you know is a huge event. So I guess he'd never been over to the college, and by this point, when we were kind of hearing like downtown's a mess, this event is a mess. Alan and I were like, let's go get brunch. Let's just go. We'll just pick up some things. Let's just fuck it. We're just going to go get brunch. And that's what we did. We just went and had brunch. And then we picked up these quests that were like catch 15 Pokemon. And of course, there's nothing spawning at brunch. I was going into my – luckily, I save all my quest rewards. I don't know why, but
they
I
were on brunch too.
So I was – yeah, apparently they all were too. So I got like all my 15 catches for my quest rewards I had stocked up. So anyway. Any other thoughts you wanted to get out on Pokemon Go or anything else, Act Out, before we let you go?
Yeah, returning a little bit to the Pokestops thing and the portals thing on Ingress. Yeah, they're kind of sparse here, but not necessarily that they do not exist or there's not too many. They're just the big locations here are pretty much in some places. So we had to go to downtown, to historical downtown, then to the university here, and other many places that have those many Pokestops. Because yeah, even though more portals, more Pokestops are appearing in the town, it's not necessarily that great still, but we're working there at least.
But to be fair, even in a place like where we live, Sacramento, you know, like if we want to get a concentration of Pokestops, we have to go downtown, like to the Capitol or to the college. You know, Alan and I live in suburbia, so we're lucky to live right down the street from a park. So we have a couple of things, a couple of portals, but that's really it. You know, we have to kind of get in the car and go somewhere if we want to really get stops. But I mean, not to because we probably do have it better. There's probably more stuff here just because we have more people that play Ingress and built out a network here than probably where, you know, you do where you are. But it will be interesting that, you know, Niantic making that change to OPR is going to have a ripple effect. You know, I've seen at least 5 new portals in our area and talking about suburbia go live in the last week since they made this change, and they're all becoming, you know, stops or gyms. We actually got a new gym out of the whole thing. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. So anyway, thank you so much for the call, ActDeft, and for being our very first caller on Discord. Appreciate it. Have a good one, buddy, okay?
Hey, thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being here. All right, that was ActDeft here on the program. Let's get to another call here on Discord. We're going to go to this call. Hi, you're on Orange Launch Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Metal Mayhem, also known as Raginator.
Hey, Metal Mayhem, how you doing?
Good, how are you? A little bit on the cold side, but always good.
Yeah, I know. We've been having some really bad storms. It's not cold here.
These are not bad storms.
Well, they're California bad, girl.
They're not even a storm.
Our power got knocked out. It was bad enough.
Yeah,
all right.
For 30 minutes. That's nothing.
All right, anyway.
How many candles do you have? Yes. You haven't even burned that one yet. I give it to you 2
Everybody
years ago.
Has it because I have a flashlight in my pocket. Everybody has it worse than we do. Anyway, sorry. What's on your mind tonight, Metal Mayhem?
All right. Well, since Dr. Sakura, you know, did a segment earlier on game soundtracks, I would like to, you know, talk about that just to tie in with the show. Now, as you, the three of you obviously already know, game soundtracks have been included in games for a while now. You can buy them on iTunes and stuff like that. But, you know, at one point they were, you know, a bit of a rarity, you know, to be included with games. That being said, you know, assuming that you have game soundtracks in your personal libraries, first one that you ever got.
Okay, so here's my answer for this. So, Darsaka, I don't know if you heard the whole question, but basically asking about game soundtracks. I know you would probably have an impressive library because game soundtracks were not like before there was iTunes, before there was Spotify. Game soundtracks, you had to go to like import stores to get them and stuff.
Or Chinatown.
Yeah, they weren't very common in the States.
Or anime conventions.
Yeah. But anyway, here's the funny thing, Metal Mayhem, something you may have forgot in the design of this question, and that's okay. Remember where Orange Lounge Radio started as a Dance Dance Revolution and music game related show? Because that is my honest answer. I started getting into game soundtracks with the Dance Dance Revolution soundtracks because I loved me that cheesy Eurobeat that you heard in things like Dance Dance Revolution Third Mix and stuff like that. And that kind of went on to like the Dance Mania albums, which were big in Japan, which were a lot of the licensed music came from. If you ever listened to OLR in the early, early, early days when it was a Live 365 station, we would play music not just from like Bimani games, Konami games. We played Dance Mania mix because we wanted to do it because obviously DDR Freak Radio was a thing and we wanted to be like different.
We were first though.
Yeah. So, well, you know, but we wanted to be different. So we kind of had that whole different take on things. So, yeah, I mean, that's when I really started getting into gaming soundtrack and realizing there was stuff to import.
I had a shit ton of anime soundtracks back in the day.
Yeah. When did you first get into gaming soundtracks at Arsaka?
Well, Dan and I were kind of into it right away because when I moved out here, he had already had, he imported Symphony of the Night, which came with the soundtrack.
So we were already listening to that. And then, you know, we were picking him up for fighting games. I had, I'd gotten like a Street Fighter Alpha 2 soundtrack that came with like a screensaver and shit, you know, back for Windows 95 or me or whatever. And then we had picked up all the Marvel versus Capcom ones. We had some King of Fighters soundtracks. When Bust a Move came out, I paid something like $45 and bought a legit Bust a Move soundtrack. And then I tore up AX looking for Bust a Move 2.
And I want to say I like downloaded MP3s on like Napster of the Bust a Move / Groove soundtrack.
Well, remember I also ripped mine.
Yeah.
You know.
Who knows? I may have downloaded your rips on Napster before I even knew you.
Well, no, I remember giving you a CD of all my rips for one.
Well, yeah, but that was later.
Yeah.
I remember downloading
it. But I also, though, was kind of, you know, very much into J-pop at the time, too. So I had, like, two mix albums and Globe and Mr. Children and...
One of my favorite albums still, like, from the DDR days, y'all ready? IU Trance. Which is the Ayumi Hamasaki Trance album. Which
True
I think
story.
There was, I think there was, like, three or maybe even a fourth one at some point. True story I love time. That first CD.
We were at DragCon this year, and there was no line for Yuha Hamasaki.
I always feel bad for those queens that get booted early. They're so talented.
Bless you. So, but anyway, we were just jawing with her because there was nobody there. And I was like, well, I know that you said that you got your name from Ayumi. Are you actually fans of the Ayuro remix? And she's like, oh, my God, yes, someone has heard of them. and Victoria's there, like, watching us like, huh?
Yeah. Like
and we're just... talking about Ayumi's para-para, you know, para-para things on stage and everything. Just
it.
Completely gushing. And then, okay, we got to get this picture done. So
okay. I love that you brought it back to drag queens.
And then her photographer messaged Monet Exchange saying that Victoria was coming over.
All right.
Because she's wearing sponge dress.
Okay, I gotta get to some of these comments from chat. Orange Wright says, I bought imported soundtracks from Red Octane back when they were a store. ActF says, I have the Scott Pilgrim the Game OST on vinyl. Which apparently DJ Ramayas helped out with. So S.J.100 Matt says, I was importing anime soundtracks from Play Asia back in the day. I had a couple V-Rares from various DDR tournaments. You know what? I might still have
all of mine.
I think I still have in the studio from like an OLR giveaway pile that we never gave away. I need to see if I have them over there. Like V-Rare CDs that we just never gave away. I need to like... just offer to send them to people or something. I don't know.
I also got one of the Game Crazy exclusive ones, like a pile of them from Dan.
Now I'm looking to see if they're over here.
We're fully hoarders, so we have them. We don't throw stuff like that out.
And I actually,
there's some shelving over here that you guys can't see on Twitch, but I was seeing if it was over there because I thought I had some on the shelving over there, but I guess not. I don't see it.
I'm actually trying to remember now what actual vinyl I still have because I have Weird Al's Mandatory Fun because he signed it. We have Even Worse by Weird Al. I have the Xanadu album, because of course I do. And I have a sealed Parlophone release, first printing of Demon Days by Gorillaz that I never opened, and apparently I could get me like $500. Go wow. fig, right. If I ever sell it.
Okay, Metal Mayhem, we've been doing all the talking. Quickly, though, before we get to our next call, what about you and game soundtracks? Like, what got you into collecting, if that's a thing you do, or did you wait till the digital age?
Oh, yeah. I didn't start out with the intent of collecting. It just happened to be a happy accident. My first soundtrack that I got was the one that was included with the Super Nintendo version of Killer Instinct. And I love it.
Killer Cuts.
I had Killer Cuts, yeah.
Yeah. I played that so much. You know, it was ridiculous. It got to a point where my entire family hated that CD after a while. And, you know, throughout the 90s, I went to my local record store. You know, I just looked through, looking for, like...
Metal Mayhem, could I count the Mortal Kombat motion picture soundtrack? Because it did have... who was it, Utah Saints, or who did that, the techno song everybody knows?
It was Utah Saints.
Does that count?
Actually, slight modification, Utah Saints did the later versions of that song. The original artist was called the Immortals.
Oh, right. Okay, you're right. Yes, okay.
The Utah Saints did another mix of that.
They did, you're right. They did. I think they did one later that had like more fighters
in it. The original song was Twilight Zone, or no?
It's very similar to Twilight Zone,
though.
It's got a very similar riff.
But Twilight Zone came out around the same time. It was all that 90s.
Yeah.
Anyway, Metal Mayhem, I gotta wrap up so we can take another call. But good topic. We love talking about game soundtracks. It's something we've lost here. Real quick, anything else you want to mention before we let you go?
Not much. I'm glad that you finally made your way over to Twitch. I know the focus is on talking the audio, but sometimes it's nice to put. The people talking,
Yeah. First off, I'm glad that this segment is working tonight because you might remember last week it broke the show and a couple weeks ago. So I'm just glad we have this segment working again. And who knows? We might be able to bring video back in the future. But, I do want to be very aware that we do have podcast listeners, and I don't want listeners to call in going, I want to show you something. And then it's like it would be really weird for a little bit. So I think in general, most of our podcast listeners kind of like understand that we've made this move to Twitch. So there are going to be some little things here and there that end up being visual cues, but I do still want to remember, it's the goal is to be a little more like when Howard Stern is on E. It's still mostly the radio, but there's that visual enhancement to it. That's where I kind of want us to be at too. But anyway, thank you so much for the call, Metal Mayhem. Take care, buddy. All right, let's see. I think we got room for one more call here, and let's do it. Hello. You are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. It is so good to hear from you, and congratulations, by the way. I know Anime Jam Session had its debut on Twitch as well this week, so congratulations. I know you guys had some audio, but, I mean, look at us. We're still having issues every week. If we get to the end of the show tonight, knock on wood, it'll be the first show we've had without, like, any technical issues since, like, maybe the very first show on Twitch. So,
achievement unlocked.
Yeah. So what's on your mind tonight, buddy?
I just thank you for derailing my topics for tonight, because when you started talking about classic soundtracks, I'm remembering the many times I have taken the Greyhound bus to conventions with buying import CDs and listening to them on my CD player from times where I would go with my squad to Chinatown. We would be buying these quote-unquote import anime and
Sanmei.
Yes, Sanmei. And I just want you to know, I finally got rid of all of my Sanmei CDs except for the Ranma ones for obvious reasons.
Some lying around that had like stuff from like Slayers and everything.
Sorry, I had to mute. I was trying to cut back that echo. There's some echo coming through on Rama's headset, so I was killing our mics for a little bit. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I still have like a few of those like multi-show anime Sanmei discs somewhere. Mm.
Like the best of 95, best of 96. And
I
remember when Rob's talking about DDR, I remember going to this one spot and picking up second and third mix soundtracks. And I'm just like, where's the first? And it took me a while to realize, oh, it's all together. Never mind.
So I'm sure you have an opinion on this whole Bowsette hack that we talked, because I feel like you're the Bowsette defender here on OLR. But I'm sure you have an opinion on this hack we talked about.
No, it's not even that. It just reminded me of something that happened a few months back. And at the height of Bowsette, some people started championing Bowsette as the official representation for trans rights. And I saw that. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go over to this side of the internet.
Welcome to claim, I guess, whatever. I'm echoing really bad, by the way, Ranma. You might want to check your Discord settings to make sure the echo canceling thing is on. But I'll try to push through here. Actually, what I'm going to do, I'm going to mute you real quick. So Ranma, they can't hear you right now. I'm just going to mute you while I respond to that part real quick. As far as like the Bowsette thing goes, like, and people claiming that as the icon and so forth, like, people kind of do that. Like, you were talking earlier in the show, like the Zarya, like as an icon and so forth,
People want to see themselves in the content they consume.
Yeah.
So whenever anything new springs up, someone somewhere is going to say, okay, well, the official developer is never going to say this outright. So we would like to claim this person within our conversations in our community. So yeah, why not?
Yeah. Anyway, I have you on the speaker again, Ranma. Anything else you want to bring up on the show tonight?
Couple things. MAGFest, when you were talking about the Snorlax, I've seen him there every year, and it's really awesome. There, I believe in the footage I sent you, if somewhere, there is footage of Snorlax fighting a Scyther, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Wasn't your first year the year after I stopped going, unfortunately? Yeah,
I just want you to know that we had a blast going, but Mako's like, I'm not going unless all of Vogue is going. I'm just like, I think it'd be easier to pull the rest of the teeth out of my mouth.
Or it might be easier to just get her to Dragon Con. but yeah, I would love to go to MAGFest again. Just the unfortunate thing is I do, this is not the job that pays my bills. As generous as y'all have been with like the bitty donations and the subscriptions and things like that. Unfortunately it doesn't really pay the bills. But I'm hoping maybe I'll have the time available to do it next year, but the reality is we're going on a cruise in March. So I don't know if it's going to work out, but you never know. Never say never. Anything is possible. So.
Look, and I totally get that, but this is something that I always discuss when we do our convention reviews. It's like this. If this is your first time going to the con, come in a day early. Stay an extra day. Do the silly touristy shit. If you got friends there, you know, stay longer and then come back the following year and just hang out. I did that. I speak from experience, you know?
I still do that with Dragon Con every year. And I do that to accommodate for jet lag and all that stuff. And actually, this year, it looks like my plans are cementing up a little bit. I haven't bought the flight yet. I don't even know if Bobby knows this. I've said I might do this, but I am going to do this. I'm actually this year going to fly into North Carolina, where Extifer moved to. And then we're going to road trip to Dragon Con together because Extifer is coming to Dragon Con this year. It's official. It's his first year at Dragon Con. So this time, instead of like spending a bunch of time in Atlanta, well, I'm still going to be there at least the day before because the hotel is covered that day. So we'll still get in like on the Wednesday when the con technically, I guess, now starts on Thursday. I mean, but it used to be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday thing. But now, you know, Thursday is the new Friday, whatever. But Thursday was always like my touristy day. So I guess that'll kind of be the case this year. But now this time I will have spent a little time because I'm going to fly out to visit Extifer. So there, it may be a very real possibility there's going to be 2 weeks with no OLR because I may fly out to visit Extifer on like a Saturday and then stay there like Sunday. And I'm taking the entire next week off. So it'll be fun this year.
Road trips are absolutely fun like that. I mean, me and my squad, we did it from New York to Raleigh for Animazement a couple of years. It was a blast.
Yeah. And Bobby reminds me, we did do that for MAGFest one of the years because I have a picture of Rob going across the National Mall going to an Ingress portal. Yes. That I did one of the missions one year or something like that. And yeah. And I remember one year I was with some of my other buddies and we stayed like an extra night out in like Virginia. I'm going to mute you again. Sorry, buddy. It's just the echo's too much. But we stayed an extra night out in Virginia and we did some of the touristy stuff the next day. Thank gosh we did it a few years ago and didn't try to do it this year when the government was closed. But that year it was all open. So anyway, let me unmute you, Rama. And any other final thoughts for us before we let you go tonight?
I had my finger on something and I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. One thing about MAGFest, Friday night, I'm like, okay, I'm like, I can't wait. The con's almost over. And I'm looking at my watch and it's like, wait, it's Friday, not Saturday. I'm used to Thursday as day zero to chill and relax and just meet up with people. Then we do the con. Not whereas we're here Thursday, it's day one. You hit the ground running. That threw me off. I'm like,
that screwed me up my first MAGFest too, is I flew in on a Friday, or excuse me, I flew in on Thursday expecting I'd have that day, and nope, it was like and the panel I wanted to see was Thursday night, and I like barely made it. So anyway, Rama, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for the call, and congrats again to Anime Jam Session on its transition over to Twitch, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again this Tuesday.
Thank you, appreciate it. Worked out a little more kinks. We're going to have a lot more fun. And I'm going to start a new segment called The Weekly Jerk.
All right. Sounds good. Look forward to it. Take care, buddy. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
All right. There it is. And that was everybody that had lined up in the green room. So that's going to do it for calls tonight. Thank you guys so much for calling in. Really appreciate it. So it's about time to wrap up another episode of Orange Lounge Radio here. First off, I want to say before we get to final thoughts, Alan, thank you so much for filling in tonight.
You're welcome.
Chatters, tell me if you guys agree, but I think Alan did a fantastic job tonight because you were so well researched on your stories. And considering you don't even get – you are well researched than we ever are. you were ready to talk about those, and you didn't even really get to pick those. I gave those to you this morning, and you were, like, ready to talk about
them.
Yeah,
well, I did look at them before the show, but the MK11 one is with it. It's something that I'm into – regardless.
Usually I try to pick the stories that play to people's fandoms. Like, if it's about Mass Effect, I'm going to give it to her. So Mortal Kombat 11, of course, I gave you.
One of the new characters in MK11 is... People have been pronouncing it Garrus.
What?
And I'm like, there's only one Garrus, and this is not it. So...
It's not my space bird husband.
Garrus?
How's it spelled?
It's like G-A-R-E-S or G-A-R-U-S. So I my ears perk up when I hear that character's name on the fighting YouTubes that I follow, and I'm like, that's not hashtag not my Garrus.
I want a Mass Effect fighting game now.
So you have a lot of love from our chatters. VG Realness says bring in more Alan. SG100 Matt says Alan is a great fill-in host. Active says yay for Alan. Spyro Jonathan says this year maybe you could stream from Dragon Con on here. The only downside to that is that internet, Wi-Fi, and all that stuff can sometimes be unreliable, but there is a very distinct reason why amongst this whole move to Twitch, we scaled things down to a miniature or mini-sized computer because it makes it very, very easily transportable. And the convenient part about Dragon Con is that really Bobby brings his whole setup anyway because he'll do the VR stuff. But I would say even if you don't get something live because the internet is kind of – I mean, we'll see where – maybe we'll have 5G everywhere then. I don't know. But barring that, certainly something in video form I think is a given. You're going to have to see something like that. So we'll see. Stay tuned, you guys, for that. Anyway, Alan, thanks again for being here. You did fantastic, and I'm not just saying that. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight or anything else you want to address before we head out?
On the show roll, it still talks about the FUs of the week, and I don't have one, actually. I was going to say I got some really good news that hopefully will become even better news in the coming week. So I will announce that on Twitter and Facebook when it's appropriate. But if there was an FU of the week, I was going to abstain because I'm all about putting positivity back into the world.
Good, good. FUs of the week are now on a on-demand situation. If
gotcha.
Jamie's like, I need it, then we do it.
Okay.
All right. But thank you again for being here. You did great. Darksocker, it's so lovely to have you back in studio. I've missed having you here in studio.
I've missed being here because I hate working Sundays.
I know. But you know what? Congrats to you and everything you've been going through in your job. I know part of that was moving on up into something you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So
super
what
I wanted to do. But I'm going to 4x10s.
Oh, good.
So I've done it once before, but, you know, I was also 111 pounds heavier and got tired a lot easier. So hopefully this will be easier on me. Mm-hmm. And hopefully if everything works out, I'll be off Thursday, Friday, and Sunday.
Okay.
So that means I get my Shabbat back. And it means that I get my, well, not daytime Shabbat, of course, but I'll get my Friday nights back for services and I get my Sundays for the show.
Well, fingers crossed, because we really need to have you back here in studio. I mean, Loki and I do a good job, and at least we get you in the Classic Game of the Week, but it's not the same, you know.
Also, though, I will be in San Francisco on Easter for Sisters in the Park, because it's the 40th anniversary of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
I thought you were going to bring up the sexy Jesus competition.
Yeah, hunky Jesus.
Is that what it is?
Well, they have sexy Mary and hunky Jesus.
Oh, that's what. Sorry.
And then the Easter bonnet.
But
I would just like to say that it would be nice that if you're in the area, come out. And it's actually back at Dolores Park.
I am really looking for more conventions to attend. I'm even looking at possibly going up to Portland Retro Expo.
Come to DragCon with me.
Well, I'm talking about like video game related things
for the
show.
There are anime and video game cosplayers there.
True. But so if you have conventions, especially West Coast, because it's much easier for me, places I can drive in a weekend. And Portland and LA are about as far out as I can go. So I can't really go East Coast in a weekend. But, you know, I'm looking for more opportunities to do things like that. I want to get the word out about Orange Lounge Radio and Vogue Network and our move and all that stuff. So, yeah.
I'm actively looking for co-hosts for a pinball thing. And
nice.
I'll talk to Dan, too. So.
All right. Well, we'll see you at least on tape next week, but we hope to have you back here in person soon. So,
dude, if I had the time to call in, I'd do it. But
I
had pneumonia, but I had that bronchitis that killed it. So.
Fair enough.
Whatevs.
Whatevs.
Thank you, American healthcare system.
My final thought tonight, just thank you guys. I am just very happy that like a lot of improvements worked tonight. The Discord thing worked. Hopefully the recording works. I'm still going to find out about that with that whole change. And the video is looking sharper and great. And I'm just like really happy and how far we've come in a month. I've been trying to improve little things every week and it's been going great. And thank you guys for being here. Of course, you guys are such an important part of that. And that's it. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can only really air those voices if they're here to air them. So help us spread the word. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you heard about this show goes an awful long way. We also appreciate all the followers and the biddies. I'll acknowledge you guys here on Twitch after the credits. Thank you guys again so much for just being here and supporting Orange Lounge Radio and helping us grow. We're going to roll the credits now, but we cannot wait to see you in 7 days. So have a great week, everybody. Happy gaming. And for those of you that have a 3-day weekend, happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And remember what this weekend is all about. You know, treat people with respect, for heaven's sakes, especially in Overwatch Bronze League. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.